we have a massive broadcast coming up for you. Alex Jones is going to break down how the Federal Reserve is rigging the economy to stop the Trump America revolution. But first, yes, you've seen the Mueller testimony and everything the Democrats have gotten away with. Are they above the law?
Benjamin Franklin once said, "Whatever begins in anger ends in shame." That shame born of anger for losing the 2016 election was on full display, and the Democrats couldn't have made the tiny impeachment fantasy world they carved out for themselves any clearer.
He may be the first president in quite some time to face the real prospect of jail time.
By the time we get to 2020, Donald Trump may not even be president. In fact, he may not even be a free person.
Do you believe the president right now has been an agent of the Russians?
Yes.
The president's chant of no obstruction is nonsense. His chant that he's been totally exonerated is a simple lie.
Prosecutors don't exonerate. The legal standard in the United States is not exoneration. You're found guilty or not guilty. And this, if we thought we could exonerate him, we would do so. He never had that authority in the first place.
Now, you didn't use the word impeachable conduct like Starr did. There was no statute to prevent you from using the word impeachable conduct. And I go back to what Mr. Radcliffe said, and that is that even the president is innocent until proven guilty.
After finally wheeling in their savior, special counsel for the bogus Russia investigation, Robert Mueller, who would prove to us all that he is ripe for retirement and was in desperate need for an afternoon nap rather than an intensive grilling on the Hill.
When did you become aware that the unverified Steele dossier was included in the FISA application to spy on Carter Page?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
When did you become aware that the unverified Steele dossier was included in the FISA application to spy on Carter Page?
I'm not going to speak to that.
Your team interviewed Christopher Steele, is that correct?
Not going to get into that.
You can't tell this committee as to whether or not you interviewed Christopher Steele in a 22-month investigation with 18 lawyers.
Mueller fumbled through an investigation he barely understood.
I'm not going to answer that. I'm not going to talk about that. I'm not going to speak to that. I'm not going to discuss that. I'm not going to speak to that. I have no idea. Don't recall that one.
Wielding the nonsense word exoneration, goaded into appearing by Jerry Nadler and the true author of the Mueller investigation, Andrew Weissman. The irony? Mueller was surrounded by lawyers that protected Hillary Clinton's email scandal, Hillary ultimately being the catalyst for the entire witch hunt. The Democrats' battle cry? No one is above the law.
Any other person who acted in this way would have been charged with crimes. And in this nation, not even the president is above the law.
Volume 2 of this report was not authorized under the law to be written. It was written to a legal standard that does not exist at the Justice Department. And it was written in violation of every DOJ principle about extra prosecutorial commentary. I agree with the chairman this morning when he said Donald Trump is not above the law. He's not. But he damn sure shouldn't be below the law, which is where Volume 2 of this report puts him.
Meanwhile, the Clinton body death count rises unimpeded. Where is the oversight regarding the FBI documents uncovered by Judicial Watch back in April in a folder literally labeled the Clinton cover-up operation, implicating the Obama White House and Barack Obama? This is the true cover-up and obstruction of justice undermining the rule of law. John Bound reporting.
Now, Jeffrey Epstein and Hillary Clinton have been above the law for some time now. It's amazing how Trump all of a sudden is a racist, xenophobe, and even criminal as soon as he becomes president. But folks, Donald Trump is putting America first, and the Federal Reserve is trying to ratchet down the growth of the U.S. economy right now. The U.S. dollar, J.P. Morgan Chase is warning, the U.S. dollar is getting weaker, might not be the world reserve. Well, that's all manipulated. Alex Jones is going to explain it all on the other side of this break. Don't go anywhere. This is the Alex Jones Show at Infowars.com/show.
Defend.
defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
We live in a fiat economy. In the last 100 years, private banks have taken over the operation and functioning of the treasury departments of every major European and Western government. They then parlayed that into tens upon tens of trillions of dollars of debt created and foisted on the people's back that they then parlay into global domination. Trump understands that we're way past the point of no return dealing with the debt, and we need to keep the dollar as the world reserve currency while rebuilding our industry and military and love of our culture so that we won't be overtaken by the Chi-Coms and the EU and the project that they've developed to demoralize the United States and the West, then collapse our borders, flood us with third world populations that have been brainwashed against us, and our journey into world government servitude will be complete. But that plan is being thwarted from Brazil to the United States, from Greece to Italy to Japan to South Korea. All over the world, populations understand the score. So yes, Trump to a great extent has abandoned fiscal responsibility because it's been abandoned worldwide, and we're in a devaluation race. China has way more devalued their currency than we have. And if we allow them to continue to do that without us countering it, they will continue to dominate our economy with a 10% growth rate while we have a 3%. Now, the Federal Reserve wouldn't have raised interest rates 8 times last year, or in the last 2 years, we would have had probably a 4.9% growth rate was estimated. We got up to 3.4. Now, you've seen the central banks and the private Federal Reserve And J.P. Morgan, that's a shareholder, come out and say that, oh, we could lose the world reserve currency. Oh, America's going to have a crash. Oh, America's going down. And now they announce the revised numbers. Now they announce the new information, ladies and gentlemen, that, oh, because of what's happened, the GDP is at 2.1%. Trump 3% growth feat undone by data revisions. But we've had over 3% growth rate for the first 2 years of his presidency. Now they're revising back, saying, oh, look, he didn't really do that. Now the economy sucks to kill the confidence and bring it down. So, yes, it's an artificial system. He's trying to make there be more robust profits for the average person so that we actually can pay off some of our debts and actually build some infrastructure. But we're damned if we do, we're damned if we don't. But regardless, we're in the hands of the global private banking cartel that is now trying to strangle our economy and our national sovereignty and our borders and our flag and the term America or American. This is what conquerors do. This is what outside enemies do. And now they're doing it. Now, coming up here on the live broadcast today with Owen Schroyer, I'll be back Sunday in studio 4 to 6 p.m. Lord willing. I'm going to lay out a Peggy Noonan article from the Wall Street Journal where the Wall Street Journal admits that the Jacobin Revolution was an anti-God, anti-family, human enslavement program of control freaks now being carried out in 2019 in the West. And it shows that the academics of the establishment are turning against the system that they originally signed on to. Because it's not just Alex Jones, and it's not just Lord Monckton that know that the French Revolution was the precursor of the communist, that the very same institutions and groups financed the takedown of Russia and China and are trying it now. People are taught this in college who were part of the establishment. And I've said this many times. I might even try to get my dad on the air, though. He's not a extrovert these days like he used to be. He's more of an introvert. But my dad told me all of this when I was a little kid. He gave me books about the French Revolution. He explained how the communists operate. And it's just all mainline history. And And so Peggy Noonan knows full well when she puts this article out and behaves like she just discovered this, that this is mainline history at the academic PhD level. And so everybody needs to just grow up. And I'm not talking about our audience, but the general public that makes jokes. Please just grow up and realize that this system's designed to enslave humanity, not empower it. And we know communism enslaves. And it's done by ultra-rich who manipulate populations off against each other. And we have no future if we don't stand against this. Now, I want to go to a report, and then back to Owen, of Rand Paul talking to Breitbart. And I like the way he splits the baby. Instead of saying we're going to deport Ilhan Omar, she has to first be found fraudulent in her citizenship and her name, and that criminal investigation has now begun. How about we just all invite her to pay for a junket to fly her for a few months back to Somalia with a tour guide and show us how great it is? Of course, you can't get a tour guide because there's 7 tribes. And if you go in any area outside your tribal area, you're kidnapped or killed. But we should really encourage her, since America is so horrible, to go back to Somalia for a few months and just experience how wonderful it is and to travel through the 7 tribal areas. Again, here is Senator Rand Paul laying it all out. The full video and audio is on Infowars.com and Newswars.com. But we are living in an extremely historic time. And coming up at the start of the next hour, I will air my breakdown of the true history of the Illuminati, the Jacobins, the communists, and what their plans are for America. Because knowing who your enemies are and knowing history is half the battle. That's not just a G.I. Joe saying. That's a military term, that knowing the enemy's plans is half the battle. In fact, no one even knows who first said that. It's so many thousands of years old. Knowing is half the battle. Then having the will and the personnel and the people ready to take action, having the mass, is winning the battle. Well, we have that and we have God on our sides, my friends. But we have to know the enemy. We have to know history or we're doomed to repeat it. So that's coming up next hour. Believe me, it's important, because the Wall Street Journal admits the Illuminati roots of the French Revolution and the modern left and communism worldwide. It's all coming up. Now back to Owen Schroyer and the rest of the crew in the ATX.
I'm in a town where we have a lot of people who are refugees who have come, some from Somalia, some from Bosnia. I've never heard one of them say that America's a terrible place or be unappreciative of our country. Most of them are thankful. I've met people who have come here from behind the Iron Curtain that got away from communism. They're some of the best Americans we have because they really appreciate how great our country is. And then I hear Representative Omar say, oh, America's a terrible place. I thought there'd be justice, and there's no justice here. It's like, well, she came here, and we fed her, we clothed her, she got welfare, she got school, she got health care, and then, lo and behold, she has the honor of actually winning a seat in Congress, and she says we're a terrible country. I think that's about as ungrateful as you can get. And so while I'm not saying we forcibly send her anywhere, I'm willing to contribute to buy her a ticket to go visit Somalia, and I think she could look and maybe learn a little bit about the disaster that is Somalia, that has no capitalism, has no God-given rights guaranteed in a constitution, and has about 7 different tribes that have been fighting each other for the last 40 years. And then maybe after she's visited Somalia for a while, she might come back and appreciate America more.
All right. There you have it, folks. And, of course, you have Ilhan Omar in a 2012 tweet telling people to go back from where they came from. You have Ilhan Omar in an interview, I think it was a few months back, that's going viral now, where she's saying white people need to be profiled. White people are the problem. And so Ilhan Omar is just an ungrateful, racist, spoiled brat. But that's the new Democrat Party, you see, with AOC up there. Meeting with Pelosi today, probably making demands. So there's all kinds of news we'll get to. We'll hear from Alex again. And we will probably be taking some phone calls here on this Friday as well to get your reaction to all of the news. Google gets a warning shot from Trump today on Twitter. Tulsi Gabbard suing Google. So you've got big tech news as well. More developments in the Epstein case. Google actively censoring the Clinton body count now again, just like Twitter did. So the wheels are moving, ladies and gentlemen. The wheels are moving, and we'll give it all the commentary on the other side. to the Alex Jones Show. Owen Schroyer filling in for Alex today. We're going to be hearing from Alex again before the broadcast is over. I'm going through the list of video clips here, going through the stacks of news, trying to decide where to begin here on this Friday. And there's really so much. But what encapsulates the current state of events? What encapsulates the current state of affairs politically in America today? And it really is the failed Mueller testimony, which of course is a distraction. It's all a big hoax, the whole thing. But to curious minds who just observe this from a neutral perspective, they're asking themselves, who are all these Democrat senators and congressmen that have been claiming they have evidence? They've literally claimed multiple times, dozens of times, we have the evidence, we have physical evidence, we've seen the proof, we know it for a fact. Trump colluded with Russia. Where's the evidence? Mueller, with dozens of attorneys, years of investigations, can't find that evidence. And then during the hearings, when you've got the guy right in front of you, you don't present any evidence? Mueller doesn't know what the heck's going on. You've got, and this is the most incredible thing, MSNBC, CNN, all of them. Mueller failed us. Mueller was weak. Where's the collusion? Where's the evidence? There's nothing. Well, you guys are the ones that have been selling it. But hey, that's just a sideshow. The question is, why would the Democrats engage in such fraud? Why would they have a fake investigation to try and destroy one man? And by the way, they're not stopping. They're now subpoenaing everybody and anybody. Ivanka, Jared, McGahn's the big name they're going to build up. And what is it all about? What is really motivating this? What is really the driving force? They hate Trump. They can't stand the fact he got elected. And at the very top of the power structure, Trump is not in the secret societies. Trump is not in the sex cult orgies. Trump is not going to pedophile islands. Trump is not blackmailed to the hilt like the rest of them. Seriously. We have this whole thing where we're not even instinctual anymore. Just look at an Adam Schiff lying to your face, being the most two-faced, double-standard hypocrite you could ever imagine, sitting here puffing his chest, I've got the evidence, I've seen the evidence, hasn't produced any of it, sits on this committee and says, anyone who's willing to look for foreign intelligence against a presidential candidate is a criminal. And then it's literally a recorded phone call of him doing just that. You're not just a bold-faced liar because it's fun. You don't just lie through your teeth because it's advantageous. For you personally, no. There's something wicked behind that. There's something evil behind that. And so I think America's just asking themselves today, why are these people such frauds? And maybe, just maybe, when all this information comes out about the Nixivum sex cult, and when all the information comes out about Jeffrey Epstein's little black book, maybe it'll all start to make a little bit more sense. Maybe when it all comes out about how Barack Obama committed treason when he illegally spied, maybe it'll all come out then. Maybe it'll all make sense then. And then maybe, just maybe, we can hope and we can pray that that will ease some of the political tensions in this country. When one side of the aisle realizes they've been duped, they've been fooled, they've been tricked, they've been bamboozled. But you know, you kind of sit here and say, if you haven't realized that by now, you either never will or you don't want to. You've consciously gone with the side of evil. And so we made all the connections yesterday with Epstein, the Clintons, the deep state, Mueller, and then a strange situation with an FBI agent in charge of investigating financial fraud like the Clinton Foundation has no doubt been engaged in. And it just continues to pile up. And you see, that's the big story. Not a fake Russia collusion narrative. That's the big distraction. That's the big false narrative, fake investigation to try to destroy Donald Trump. That's the truth of Russian collusion. But they can't admit that because then even the lowest IQ leftist would have to admit that, yes, they were on the side of the criminals. But again, I think they want that now. They give them the right to go out and engage in domestic terror. They're now using Quikrete in milkshakes to throw at people like it's a brick. That's assault with a deadly weapon. They're talking about putting acid. They've tried to do that before at conservative events. They firebomb ICE facilities. They attack Republican headquarters. Thousands of assaults now against Trump supporters. I mean, this is the modern day Democrat Party. I'll say it 1,000 times till I'm blue in the face. The Democrat Party is the largest domestic terror group in the United States of America. I will have this debate with anybody, and you can't beat me in this. They've been caught by Project Veritas admitting they start riots. They are on tape saying, get in Trump supporters' faces, make a crowd. We kick them when they're down. This is all the Democrat rhetoric. And then their supporters go out and do it. Yes, the Democrats are a domestic terror group. Yes, the Democrats are the largest hate group in America. Absolutely, 110%, cut and dry, no argument. But what's the problem? The problem is the mainstream television media is never going to say any of this because they're in bed with them. For whatever reason. Whatever makes them bedfellows. Maybe it's literally what they do in bed at night. Maybe it's a political thing. Maybe it's an ideological thing. Maybe they're all blackmailed. I don't know. I call it as I see it. You see Democrats lying to your face. You see mainstream media going along with it. You have a brain in your head. You have two eyes. You have instincts. Go with them. You know who these people are.
I want to thank all of you for tuning in during this live Friday edition. Again, Alex Jones here. I will be back in studio this Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. Please don't forget, we're going to have Clown World coverage of the Democrat debates and how dangerous these people are. Clown World 2, Meet America's Enemies is the official name. Find all the live feeds at clownworld.us and please spread them because you are the resistance. You are the modern Paul Revere's. And that's this Tuesday evening right through the next day on Wednesday, outside of all the regular shows we do, David Knight, 8 a.m., myself, 11 a.m., Owen Schroyer, 3 p.m., all times central. And lastly, if we had the funds to expand and if we had the funds to be operating, I would not be coming to you during the ads and once an hour at least saying, please remember, without you, we won't be on air. We only got into the black when they tried to plant the child porn on us, and that blew up in their face. People went, oh my gosh, Alex really isn't kidding. They're really trying to destroy him. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to do them a favor and get into all the things they've done. There's a lot of reasons. I obviously can't get into it on air. But believe me, if you think that's bad, you have no idea. And the stuff they're doing to even local state representatives that are conservative or Christian. The stuff they're doing to anybody who's anywhere close to Trump, it's all the same. It's a nightmare. And it lets you know how bad these people are. Now, listen, I'm not a victim. I'm a warrior in a fight. And I knew these people were bad. And quite frankly, the fact that they've been so nasty lets me know that I've been right about this the whole time, so I don't feel guilty about going after them. You know, sometimes we were 95% sure about all this, but I would still feel kind of guilty because we're saying some really horrible things about the NWO. Well, guess what? It's all true and more. So I feel good, I feel committed, and I feel strong with God's hand on my shoulder. But I'm here to tell you, we are in a war. And just like in World War II, they told folks, hey, work as hard as you can, produce as much munitions, you know, don't waste food, blah, blah, blah. That's all real in this fight. So whether you go speak at a city council meeting or whether you go speak at your church, whether you call into C-SPAN or talk radio, just have your voices be heard and pray to God every day and remember to financially support whatever broadcast you think is the most effective. And I'm here to tell you, we've got actually six projects. I said five the other day. I was thinking I've got six. Three are already operational. Three more are about to launch. And I've got a couple more incubating that I want to get launched. And look, we're a year behind launching other shows. That's not one of the secret projects. I'm accelerating everything, though, and spending every dime we've got and running off no reserves. But again, we couldn't expand until the globalists tried to set us up and people really figured out what was happening and quite a bit of extra money came in, but still it's not what we need for operations. So I'm telling you, you want to see some fireworks politically. You want to see more victory. Go to InfoWarsStore.com. We have 50% off DNA Force right now for a limited time. It's back in stock. It's amazing. We've got so many other great products there as well. Super Male Vitality, 50% off. 40% off the water filters. That makes them loss leaders. This is, I've been authorized by the factory, ProPure and Alexa Pure, and so many other big specials right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, these aren't giant general, you know, store sales where everything's at least 30% off. These are specific best-selling items, though, that are 50% off to 40% off that are unprecedented. Alexa Pure Breeze, Alexa Pure Pro, the whole water filtration family at InfoWarsStore.com. But please, whatever you do, realize that this is an intense fight. And it's a battle like a boxing match, 12 rounds, and we're entering the 10th round right now. So now's the time to be committed. I want to thank you all for your financial support and remind you that we're going to have to end this DNA Force sale sometime next week. We're going to have to end the Super Male Vitality sometime next week. And that, again, it is you taking action that will decide this battle. Thank you all. Back to Owen Schroyer in the live show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we will be hearing again from Alex Jones before the broadcast is over. I hope you can join us for Clown World Round 2 coming up next Tuesday and Wednesday evening at InfoWars.com/show. Let me get to some of these clips before I delve into some of this other news here, because we've got the Democrat debates coming up where the whole party is run off of hate and hate of America, hate of Trump, hate of whoever, really, they want to blame. And so, also, their policies are very detrimental to society, because just look at California as an example, where now a recent CBS Los Angeles report, they've highlighted the trash, the homelessness, the tent cities, the disease, all of it coming in rampantly. Now California is being overrun by rats.
This report should be a shame on local government officials who've known about this crisis for the past several months, but have tried to sweep it under the rug, along with the rat droppings.
And Carl DeMille, chairman of the Reform California, was just getting started as he said California, not just Los Angeles, is being overrun by rats.
Every 5 to 10 feet, you will see black boxes with numbers on them. You know what those boxes are? They're rat traps.
And there they were, hidden in the shrubs, just outside City Hall, the black boxes he was talking about. Number 97, number 98, we're told, numbered all the way up to 150. Rat traps. At a cost of $10,000, this 8-week study, conducted by a number of experts, many of them in the pest control business, predicted there would be dire consequences if politicians simply ignored this problem.
Business has increased about how much?
For rodent calls for residential, about 50 or 60%. People calling saying, I have rats, and then going out and actually confirming they actually do have rats.
Up 50%.
50, probably almost 60%.
So this group today is asking the governor to declare a public health emergency because of the rats, and also urge that the assembly not pass a bill that would ban the use of a very common pesticide that would kill the rodents. The backers of that bill say the current pesticide used is a danger to environment and has been killing innocent wildlife. But to that, DeMaio responded, now's not the time to worry about that.
If we don't clean up this mess, that our citizens are going to start contracting diseases that are dangerous.
Well, they already are. They already got typhus is spreading, tuberculosis. I mean, everything. It's California, baby. Piles of trash. They talk about the mountains of Colorado and the Rocky Mountains. It's the trash mountains of California. Come visit the record high trash. Even maybe you can scale the mountain of trash. But it goes on now. So you have trash and rats and disease and infestation in California cities. Now you will also not see any references to God or Lord like they're doing now in North Carolina or South Carolina.
New Tonight at 6, controversy in Tega K all over this monument. It's dedicated to the Tega K Police Department. You can see it's got some scratches on it. The reason, the Bible verse etched into it has the word Lord in it. The city decided to remove the word Lord after backlash from the community, but now social media is buzzing with others who disagree.
That's so bigoted for you to believe in a creator. You're just a you've just evolved from pond scum.
With local reaction.
Well, police tell us they started getting complaints about the monument, so city leaders held a meeting. And now you can see they've removed the word Lord, which appears three times here. But it hasn't stopped the debate. At first, some raising concerns about separation of church and state. But now others pointing to
freedom of speech.
In the end, the city deciding to remove the words Lord from the monument. But the debate continues on social media, some questioning the legality of having it on public property. One woman commenting, it's nice, but why
don't you just
Christian
love
Bible
the liberal progressive Democrat policy?
This violates separation of church and
you
state.
You get rats, you get trash, you get disease, you get crime, but you don't get God.
Longtime Tega K resident Charles Parker has a different view.
We were organized as a Christian nation. I don't see that that's...
How dare that bigot!
Separation of church.
How dare he!
Even Congressman Ralph Norman weighing in, posting this Facebook video.
The last time I checked, it's one nation under God. To have this scratched out is sad, to say the least. That's why we're fighting in Washington, D.C. to put God back in public buildings like this.
So you put God. You can't even make a police memorial
telling us the monument was
that has Lord in it.
Other monuments that appear across the country at various levels of government. But after seeking...
All right, I'm running for Democrat of your local city here. And I'm going to promise you death and disease and rats and trash and feces in the streets. I promise you that. And I swear, if anybody says anything about Lord or God or America is good, we're going to lock them up and ship them out. The Alex Jones Show on this Friday. We're going to hear from Alex Jones on, well, how the modern day leftist violent revolution has ties to the history of the French Revolution. I talk about all the time how you just say Jacques in the French Revolution, they just chop your head off. That's like racist, is like the new thing they do now. So we're going to be hearing from Alex on that. I want to do just a news blitz here before we move on into the second hour, open up the phone lines, hear from Alex Jones, and then Nick Begich takes over in the fourth hour. Where to begin here? Well, let's start where we left off before we get into some of these other developments here with Epstein and Mueller. And let's just go down the list here. Wall Street Journal today. Jeffrey Epstein's pilots are subpoenaed in sex trafficking investigation. Federal prosecutors in Manhattan have subpoenaed Epstein's longtime personal pilots. as investigators seek to question the financier's employees in the wake of his indictment on sex trafficking charges. Now, this is obviously pretty big news here. We're talking about the quote-unquote Lolita Express, Bill Clinton, a frequent flyer. In fact, Bill Clinton had so many frequent flyer miles on the Lolita Express that, well, it was basically he was just flying for free at this point. He had the companion pass. We'll just put it to you that way. So those are all on record. And then Bill, when all this is first breaking, is like, oh, I don't know anything about this Epstein character. The Daily Beast writes the headline, Bill Clinton's connections to Jeffrey Epstein in the 90s. And you're like, wow, coming from the Daily Beast, run by Chelsea Clinton and all these Clintonites. And then what's the first line in the story? Bill Clinton separated himself from Jeffrey Epstein in the 90s when the allegations came down. Oh, that's how you try to control news. And then that's the top search result on Google when you search Epstein Clinton. Don't you just love how these people manipulate? Don't you just love how these people deceive and control with their big tech and their fake news? But you're not going to be able to control those pilots that just got subpoenaed that were flying the Lolita Express. Oh, Diego. Yeah, there's the Daily Beast story. The crew found it. I'm telling you, days after, this is the first line, days after Jeffrey Epstein's arrest on sex trafficking charges in New York, Bill Clinton distanced himself from the financier. And then that's the first thing that pops up on Google. But you know what doesn't pop up on Google? Anything InfoWars. New York Daily News. New Jeffrey Epstein court papers mention ongoing investigation of others, nude photos, and evidence headed to defense team. Yeah, they go into Epstein's house. He's got piles of cash. He's got diamonds. He's got passports. He's got two islands with compounds and tunnels and, like, temples of doom. But hey, nothing to see here. No, no, no. No, yeah, this guy was, I mean, folks, look, you think they just come out with this whole narrative like in the movie Taken out of thin air? This stuff goes on. I don't even want to know what they're doing on Epstein Island. And this is like beyond the Nixivum sex cult stuff where they just are in some weird orgy cult where they brand each other and then they try to use whatever influence over politics and everything, those stories are coming out. It's all connected. Trump's not involved in any of it. And look, nobody's saying Trump's perfect. He's a man. He has inclinations. Trump is drug-free, alcohol-free, and a focused worker. That's the difference here. Chelsea Clinton denies Epstein's ties to Epstein's alleged madam. You know, I honestly feel bad for Chelsea Clinton in this whole deal. I don't even know if she has a clue what's going on, but maybe she does. And then just, you know, because it's happening too, nobody wants to talk about it. Former Walt Disney VP sentenced to prison in child sex abuse investigation. Four counts of first-degree sexual abuse involving a 7-year-old girl. Michael Laney sentenced to 81 months. And this guy is 73 years old now. So who knows how long that's been going on. I go on. Oh, and by the way, though, so you've got all these arrests of pedophiles, all these arrests of sex traffickers, these investigations into the Nixivum cult and all this stuff. It's all happening during Trump's presidency, Operation Broken Heart. The media barely talks about any of it. I mean, do you just think that's all a coincidence? Do you just think that that is just happenstance? And then on the flip side, Democrats panicking, this whole Mueller thing, all the lies and the attacks on Trump. Exclusive, Republicans aware of Mueller frailty ahead of hearing. So this comes from a statement made by, originally I thought it was made by Lindsey Graham, and then other Republicans picked it up. But the point is they're all saying, oh, we knew Mueller was frail. We knew he was weak. Really? I remember listening to CNN and MSNBC. Hell, even Fox, all of them. Mueller's the one for the job. Nobody more respected. Nobody more able. Nobody more capable. Nobody bigger hero. Mueller is literally the best person in the history of the world. He's the only man for the job. Oh, now that he's failed, Now that he's embarrassed himself, now that he's bumbled and fumbled and stumbled during his testimony, now that it's been exposed, he didn't even write the report, probably don't even know what's in it. Weissman wrote it. Oh, now it's, well, Mueller was just the wrong man for the job. He was frail and he just wasn't mentally ready. And then now that's what they're saying on CNN and MSNBC. So that's what I'm saying. The average American who just watches this, how can they not see how fraudulent these people are? San Francisco Gate. Democrats second guess calling Mueller, divided on path forward. What do you mean second guess? He was the man. He was the most respected, most honorable, most integrity. Both sides of the aisle loved him. He could do no wrong. Now it's, he's frail, he's weak. I don't know about him. So, yeah. But that, the average American, do they not see how CNN is a total fraudulent network? Do they not see how MSNBC is a total fraudulent network? They just assume their audience has the memory of a goldfish, which I guess their audience does. Let's move on. AOC, Pelosi, to address House Dem infighting. It's big trouble right now in the Democrat Party, folks. It's big trouble because Nancy Pelosi and Dianne Feinstein and Maxine Waters and the powers that be, the criminals that be in the Democrat Party, they know the average American still likes capitalism and doesn't hate America. So they kind of flirt with that, but they don't go full bore. AOC and Tlaib and Ilhan and all these clowns, they're full bore America sucks, conquer it. Nancy's like, wait a second, I mean, I got rich being a criminal in this country. Can we not destroy my golden goose here? And AOC and these new ones, of course, they don't have a clue what's going on. And so they're just like, oh, yeah, everything's bad. Climate change. 10 years, we're all going to die. And then this story was pushed real hard because here's the Democrats' problem. The media is involved in the infighting, too. This story was pushed real hard by social media today from The Atlantic. The millennial left is tired of waiting. Yeah, it's all about we have to destroy America now. We have to destroy the borders now. We have to make rich Americans pay now. We have to get white people to be poor and unsuccessful now. That's what it all is about. And they're tired of waiting. They're tired of waiting for their racism to come to fruition. They're tired of waiting of their bigotry to come to fruition. Their hate, their terrorism. They're tired of waiting for the results. They want results now. And so they can't do it legally. They can't do it politically. So they're just going to do it violently. But they're going to continue to try to do it politically. House Democrats authorized subpoenas for Ivanka Trump, Jared Kushner for emails, text messages. They're going after Don Jr. They're going after Don McGahn. Who's next? Mickey Mouse? Was Mickey Mouse in Trump Hotel? Was Mickey Mouse in Trump Tower? I heard the Easter Bunny showed up one time. Maybe we should subpoena Santa Claus. Maybe we should subpoena Peter Rabbit. I've heard, folks. Bigfoot. Bigfoot was spotted at Trump Hotel and Donald Duck. So the Democrats have now subpoenaed Donald Duck, and they've subpoenaed Bigfoot, and they've subpoenaed Goofy from the Goof Troop, and they are searching for Bugs Bunny, and they are searching for Elmer Fudd. They have gone back in time and subpoenaed the Flintstones. They've gone into the future and subpoenaed the Jetsons. They traveled to a different dimension and subpoenaed the Teletubbies. There is no limit to who the Democrats won't subpoena. They're trying to go to Mars and subpoena Martians.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center and the heart of the resistance. And now, your host, Owen Troyer.
All right, Devin Nunes and Doug Collins gave comments and statements after the Mueller debacle yesterday. Here's how that went.
Congressman Nunes, let me start with you. I want to go back and play something that you said the other night on Hannity and kind of get your thoughts about in retrospect now, having watched this whole thing play out, if you still think this is true. Watch.
I fear what's going on right now is that Mueller's working with a lot of his staff
who are back-channeling to the Democrats. And so it is very possible that Mueller is going to have a few little sound bites that are going to give the Democrats exactly what they want.
You still think that might have happened?
Yeah, I do. I think they were working with the Democrats. I think when you look at Mueller's team, it was a team that we still don't know how that got put together. And that was one of the things that Mr. Mueller didn't ask about. I think what we didn't expect is that Mr. Mueller didn't seem to know a whole lot about the report. I know he had time to prepare for it. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, during our hearing, it was a little odd because they had another lawyer, Mueller's deputy, was sworn in, which is really unprecedented on our committee. Now, we said that we weren't going to ask the other lawyer any questions, but and we didn't, and neither did the Democrats. But it was a little odd to see the special counsel there with a lawyer sitting next to him. So there was definitely back-channeling going on. And I think, you know, the big problem was, is I think they probably figured that Mr. Mueller was going to talk about this Office of Legal Counsel issue that happened in Mr. Collins' committee.
Yeah.
And that was problematic. And then luckily, you know, somebody got to Mr. Mueller during the break, and he had to come out and correct it during our committee.
Yeah.
And think about this. Not only did Mueller have to have a lawyer, legal counsel there with him, which is very strange.
Sort of feeling that he was going to come in there.
He also was just giving statements as a witness, just making statements, asking questions. That's unheard of.
That they would be useful. I just wonder how much Democrats.
Even Schiff would say, oh, Mr. Mueller. They would say, Mr. Mueller, what would you like to say about this? What are your statements on this? This is a witness.
It felt to me like they might have been quite surprised by how it actually came out because it was not a strong performance.
No, it was not. In fact, what's really amazing to me is I think that the House on the Judiciary Committee, I think they're just so delusional about what they wanted the Mueller report to say and what it didn't say. And then they've tried to convince themselves of a new narrative since then. You know, at the top of the show, you said Mr. Nadler, his own words were, it's a watershed moment. Well, I'm not sure he's been to a lot of watershed moments because yesterday was not one that you would put into that category because Mr. Mueller was honest. In fact, here's two things that came out of it. Number one, the collusion and conspiracy. We put that to rest yesterday. Those are the one and the same. So any Democrat, such as the chairman of Intel, Mr. Schiff, who said there's collusion in plain sight, even some of my members on Judiciary, that's just a false narrative. That's a lie to the American people. Mr. Mueller put that to bed. Every time my Judiciary Committee Democrats tried to walk down obstruction, they even used little charts and put green check marks. Mr. Mueller would come and say, you know, no, I don't subscribe to your analysis. Kicked it out. So these are the kind of problems you saw yesterday. They were hoping for something they've not been able to do, and it fell flat.
No, yeah. That's it. Know, the Democrats are trying to beat reality here.
We're talking about.
That's what this is. They're trying to beat reality. There is no Russian collusion with Trump. There's no proof of it. There never has been. And again, collusion isn't a crime. It's just a word that they've hyped up. I mean, imagine being so stupid to fall for Russian collusion. I can't even believe it.
You know, things that happened before and things that happened
like, come in here. In fact, guys, let's do an experiment.
He was not.
Come in here and beat me on the head 30 times with a hammer, and let's see if I believe Russian collusion. Can we do that?
Yeah,
it might take more than that.
Surprised at that. And also, this has been the narrative for a long time about this Trump Tower meeting that lasted for a total of 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Even in his report, he says that. So how can you not know? If you've looked at everything to do with that Trump Tower meeting, you know that House Republicans have been talking about this for months. It was in our report that we wrote about Glenn Simpson and Fusion GPS meeting with Natalia Vesnitskaya, who was the lawyer that met with the Trump Tower at the Trump Tower meeting that supposedly had the dirt. So, you know, the fact remains that Glenn Simpson, who was working for the Democrats, working for the Clinton campaign, met
just
with
imagine,
that lawyer, we think at
just
least
imagine this. This is like watching your favorite team compete in the Super Bowl, okay, and they lose 30-0, and then after the game and the next day, you're celebrating like they won, like, we won the Super Bowl. Your team literally got skunked. That's what the Democrats are like. Oh, we got Trump. You got nothing.
You found it. The tip of the spear. It is the Alex Jones Show with Owen Troyer.
I want to thank all of you for tuning in during this live Friday edition. Again, Alex Jones here. I will be back in studio this Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. Please don't forget, we're going to have Clown World coverage, the Democrat debates, and how dangerous these people are. Clown World 2, Meet America's Enemies is the official name. Find all the live feeds at clownworld.us, and please spread them because you are the resistance. You are the modern Paul Revere's. And that's this Tuesday evening right through the next day on Wednesday, outside of all the regular shows we do, David Knight, 8 a.m., myself, 11 a.m., Owen Schroyer, 3 p.m., all times central. And lastly, if we had the funds to expand and if we had the funds to be operating, I would not be coming to you during the ads and once an hour at least saying, please remember, without you, we won't be on air. We only got into the black when they tried to plant the child porn on us and that blew up in their face. People went, oh my gosh, Alex really isn't kidding. They're really trying to destroy him. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to do them a favor and get into all the things they've done. There's a lot of reasons. I obviously can't get into it on air. But believe me, if you think that's bad, you have no idea. And the stuff they're doing to even local state representatives that are conservative or Christian, the stuff they're doing to anybody who's anywhere close to Trump, it's all the same. It's a nightmare. And it lets you know how bad these people are. Now, listen, I'm not a victim. I'm a warrior in a fight. And I knew these people were bad. And quite frankly, the fact that they've been so nasty lets me know that I've been right about this the whole time, so I don't feel guilty about going after them. You know, sometimes we were 95% sure about all this, but I would still feel kind of guilty because we're saying some really horrible things about the NWO. Well, guess what? It's all true and more. So I feel good, I feel committed, and I feel strong with God's hand on my shoulder. But I'm here to tell you, we are in a war. And just like in World War II, they told folks, hey, work as hard as you can, produce as much munitions, you know, don't waste food, blah, blah, blah. That's all real in this fight. So whether you go speak at a city council meeting or whether you go speak at your church, whether you call into C-SPAN or talk radio, just have your voices be heard and pray to God every day and remember to financially support whatever broadcast you think is the most effective. And I'm here to tell you, we've got actually six projects. I said five the other day. I was thinking I've got six. Three are already operational. Three more are about to launch. And I've got a couple more incubating that I want to get launched. And look, we're a year behind launching other shows. That's not one of the secret projects. I'm accelerating everything, though, and spending every dime we've got and running off no reserves. But again, we couldn't expand until the globalists tried to set us up and people really figured out what was happening and quite a bit of extra money came in, but still it's not what we need for operations. So I'm telling you, you want to see some fireworks politically. You want to see more victory. Go to InfoWarsStore.com. We have 50% off DNA Force right now for a limited time. It's back in stock. It's amazing. We've got so many other great products there as well. Super Male Vitality, 50% off. 40% off the water filters. That makes them loss leaders. This is, I've been authorized by the factory, ProPure and AlexaPure, and so many other big specials right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, these aren't giant general, you know, store sales where everything's at least 30% off. These are specific best-selling items, though, that are 50% off to 40% off that are unprecedented. Alexa Pure Breeze, Alexa Pure Pro, the whole water filtration family at InfoWarsStore.com. But please, whatever you do, realize that this is an intense fight. And it's a battle like a boxing match, 12 rounds, and we're entering the 10th round right now. So now's the time to be committed. I want to thank you all for your financial support and remind you that we're going to have to end this DNA Force sale sometime next week. We're going to have to end the Super Male Vitality sometime next week. And that, again, it is you taking action that will decide this battle. Thank you all. Back to Owen Schroyer in the live show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back in studio here. We'll be hearing from Alex again in this hour. And again, in the third hour, before Nick Begich takes over the fourth hour, and I'm going to open up phone lines probably at some point in this hour. I do have other news I need to get to, including President Trump hammering Google on Twitter today, President Trump calling out, which I'm glad he did this. I talked about this yesterday, not allowing Apple to leave the United States with manufacturing and then go to China and get free, no tariffs, but President Trump said he's not going to let that. President Trump hitting Fox News on Twitter for being anti-Trump like they were during the 2016 election, which he seems to forget. But first, you know, we talk about the expansion and everything we want to do here and how when you shop at InfoWarsStore.com, it just builds InfoWars, this platform. We get bigger. We get new reporters and crew and everything. Like Caitlin Bennett, who is a young and upcoming reporter right now who does such great work Here's just a small snippet of some of the stuff that she's been doing lately as she starts the Anti-Socialist Social Club.
Anti-Socialist Social Club.
Yeah. How's it going?
It's going good. What's that shirt mean?
It's anti-socialist. A lot of my family has gone through socialist countries in the past and for generations, and we hate it. Socialism sucks, right?
It does suck.
Yeah.
Why do you think we have such a problem with college leftists supporting socialism?
I think that the reason why we have this massive push for socialism for our generations is the fact that the government wants more power. And that's all they want. They want more power, more money to take our freedoms and rights away. And they want to take that away. They start off with the next generation of Americans. That's the way they do it. So they're hitting the schools and they're indoctrinating our kids to believe that socialism is a good thing, that there's free stuff out there. There's no such thing as free stuff. I learned this at a young age. There's no such thing as a free lunch. And there's no such thing as free healthcare, free college. It's just 70% marginal tax rate, which no one knows what that means, supposedly. And AOC definitely doesn't know what that means. All she wants is 70% of your income and my income.
And I say no. You can't. I identified, actually, maybe you'll join me in this, as a non-taxpayer. I identified as that. Yeah. So they can't tax me, right? If we identify and change our gender to non-taxpayer, will you change your gender right now with me?
I'm down.
Okay. So we now, our gender is a non-taxpayer. So AOC, you can't take our tax money. You can't fund free healthcare for illegal immigrants. What's it like being this new gender?
Oh, it feels great. It feels great. And they cannot discriminate against me.
So
because that is wrong. That is wrong. That's not PC.
Okay. All right. There you have it. You know, way you can support the new gender here today is by going to InfoWarsStore.com. Maybe we can get some new t-shirts that say I identify as a non-taxpayer. One. You'd buy one from InfoWarsStore.com?
I would definitely get one.
Okay. All right. Maybe they'll censor that like they did my Instagram post today. All right. Go there. Maybe you'll see some new shirts.
Now, speaking of identifying, identifying as a whatever, you know, in this new liberal progressive world, this was sent to me on Twitter. This is hilarious. And even though this would probably never happen, I kind of wish it would. But even conceptually, you think that this concept would show the left how ludicrous they are. But here, this was sent to me. This is a suggestion to break the left's ridiculous gender ideology and denial of biological reality. President Trump should make a declaration that he is identifying as a woman. The left will have to admit the absurdity of their gender ideology or accept and celebrate Donna Trump as the first female president, thus beating Hillary Clinton, Elizabeth Warren, Amy Klobuchar, Kamala Harris, and Kirsten Gillibrand to the glorious goal of one of their female firsts. Furthermore, if he remains married to Melania, he will also be the first gay president and the first lesbian president. He will also be the first lesbian president married to an immigrant. What could be a more glorious event for the Democrats to celebrate? So, now obviously, we'll conceptualize this in your head. If Trump did that, what would the left that says, oh, you know, gender fluidity, gender positivity, you can be anything you want, it's all a social construct, but they wouldn't let Trump have it. So they would either have to deny Trump what they claim is social justice, which is liberal progressivism, biology doesn't exist, or they would have to, you know, let's see if they could finally admit they're crazy or if they're going to commit to their mental illness. Okay, fine. Trump is a woman. Trump is the first female president. Trump is the first lesbian president. I mean, and then what does it do? And you would think that just that concept alone could show the left how ridiculous their social constructs are, their ideologies are, but the fact that we would have to go to that length to prove it is really sad. But don't worry, this will happen organically. In 20 years, if we continue this trend, female sports won't exist. It'll just be junior varsity male sports dressed as women. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. We're going to be hearing from Alex Jones coming up in the next segment, tying in the history of the French Revolution to what we're seeing now. You know, we got a lot of things working behind the scenes that you may never even know about, but, well, I'm not even going to say it. I've got some huge news. I just got some massive news, and I can't break it right now. But Just be sure you're paying attention to InfoWars.com through the weekend and next week, because not only do I have some big news coming, and then Alex has some other exclusive news he's working on, and we have the Clown World Part 2 coming up next week. There's nowhere else to be tuned in than better than InfoWars right now, as all of this is breaking. But we've got... Wow. Maybe there is hope. But only if we take action. That's the kicker. We have to take action, and it may be uncomfortable at times. The cost may be just never taking a break from life, but isn't it worth it to preserve freedom in the West? Isn't it worth it to preserve America and the independence and the prosperity that we have here? I believe it is. I'm not the only one, because our independence, our liberty, our values, our traditions were all paved by the blood of men and women who recognized that. So we really barely even know compared to some people, but man, we understand how important it is that America exists. So let me do this in this segment, because yes, InfoWars is the place to be. I mean, let's be honest, folks. And in fact, now you've got MSNBC segments, and then even, well, this is just incredible what's happening on MSNBC and CNN. But first, let's go to MSNBC saying that they're basically now the real conspiracy theorists. Do we have clip five?
This WikiLeaks is like a treasure trove. Donald Trump, October 31st, 2016. Boy, I love reading those WikiLeaks. Donald Trump, November 4th, 2016.
As if Trump's the only one reading WikiLeaks. Everyone was reading WikiLeaks.
It's an understatement in terms of what it displays, in terms of giving some, I don't know, hope or some boost to what is and should be illegal activity.
Think about this. Hillary Clinton pays for fake information from Russia. That's just ridiculous.
What did that moment mean?
That moment meant that 3 years ago in one day, today, WikiLeaks was the leading edge of an attack on the United States, and Robert Mueller recognized that Donald Trump's amplification, praise of WikiLeaks...
Hold on, pause this, because this is so unbelievably ridiculous. Again, when WikiLeaks exposed Bush, you people love it. WikiLeaks is not an attack on the United States in any way, shape, or form other than the fact Democrat emails got out and just showed how these Democrats were dirtbags and scumbags. So if you consider that a crime against America, then okay, exposing corrupt politicians, then fine. But again, they say, oh, Trump blew up WikiLeaks. Trump put the spotlight on WikiLeaks. No. CNN did. MSNBC did. Fox News did. Anyone in the media did. Of course you did. WikiLeaks is a huge, huge international journalism outlet. So everybody talks about WikiLeaks, but if Trump does it, it's bad. All right, go back.
And using people who were in communications with them, knowing that this was already popularly being called in media a Russian intelligence operation.
No, it wasn't.
That he didn't care.
That was a narrative
after the
fact. Were
unpatriotic, and certainly they didn't fall in the realm of criminality within this probe, but certainly not something any American should engage in.
And you
talk about
like
WikiLeaks
that,
like you are right now.
I wanted to turn to this piece because so much in Washington is about, does it hurt or help a given side? And how does it look? And how does it play? And Bob Mueller, from covering him, strikes me as someone who doesn't care, which is precisely why he is credible on these issues over the long haul and has disappointed various political factions at various moments. So with that in mind, Malcolm, take a look at this exchange where what does Bob Mueller really care about? Where does he become more animated? It's the idea that Russia continues to do this during a backdrop where everyone knows the current administration
Russia's
isn't
around
exactly
every corner.
Out there preventing it at all times.
Is this, in your investigation, did you think that this was a single attempt by the Russians to get involved in our election, or did you find evidence to suggest they'll try to do this again?
No, it wasn't a single attempt. They're doing it as we sit here.
Yeah, yeah, Russia's all bad. By the way, they're about, this has already been exposed. I mean, Mike Cernovich has done documentaries. Alex Jones has talked about this. The Qatari influence funding politicians. I mean, this is a joke to sit here and act like Russia is doing anything that Israel's not doing, Qatar is not doing, Saudi Arabia is not doing, China's not doing. This is a joke.
Can sit there and actually make a what we would call forward-looking statement. An estimate or a prognostication here in the intelligence section, which I know, you know, he would never do during the obstruction hearing. He would never say, well, if someone lied to us a bunch, I predict they'll commit a crime again. Such a
there was no crime.
Approach,
they didn't find
walk
a crime.
Us to the intel of that.
You know, there, the part of this report that none of us truly knows the depth of is the intelligence, the counterintelligence component of this. And the reason that a lot of questions weren't answered today, and I saw them, they were black holes, as we call in the intelligence community.
Because it exposes the Democrats.
Should be there, all the gravity's moving towards it, and we're not seeing that answer. Like the discussion about Professor
because the Democrats are behind it. This guy's like, yeah, why aren't they answering these questions? Because it all leads back to Obama.
FBI apparatus. That is still hunting spies or suspected spies within the within this investigation. So that being said, he was animated on this point because these are real threats to the United States.
Oh, yeah.
These are things which can actually hurt us.
Yeah, Russian Facebook ads. Look out.
On the legal side. There was only so much he can do. He's an institutionalist. He played to that institution with regards to the OLC memo, but with regards to counterintelligence, he doesn't want to talk about it. He just wants the National Security Division of the FBI to go out and start rolling up people or start breaking up plots.
All right,
which
so
never-
just to be clear, because I don't know what happened here. That's a totally different clip than whatever was in my thing here, because that's not crystal ball and that's not them saying InfoWars conspiracy theory. Nonetheless, it's just more nonsense from MSNBC that you can just break down in live time. It's just hilarious. Again, where's the crime? They don't have it. Where's the collusion? They don't have it. Where's anything? They don't have it. It's just a bunch of rhetoric. It's just a bunch of hearsay. And then they say, well, there's black holes in all these questions. Because you don't want to go there. You don't want to go there how they found the Russian dossier. You don't want to go there why they spied on Carter Page. You don't want to go there why they didn't investigate Christopher Steele. You don't want to go there because it all leads back to Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. So it's not a black hole. It's you don't want to go there because you're a damn Democrat.
You found it, the tip of the spear. It is the Alex Jones Show with Owen Troyer.
Secret bureaucracy, it's just a lie. The devil's henchman is soon and die. A sacred brotherhood, an ancient right. Politicians and the double life.
This is not an exaggeration. This is not rhetoric. This is a decision. This is a statement that has been reached, that has been made based on evidence, based on reality, based on facts. And that is this. The modern day, that is today, the modern day Democrat Party is the largest domestic terror group in the United States. And so here's the difference between InfoWars and your average quote-unquote conservative commentator. We're willing to say the things that are true that the average person is too afraid to say. So, oh, you can't say that. That's extreme. You can't say that. That's extreme. No, you know what's extreme? Saying tens of millions of Americans are racist because of their politics. You know what's extreme? Saying tens of millions of Americans are bigoted because of their politics. You know what's extreme? Saying tens of millions of racists or of of Americans are racists and Nazis and KKK and xenophobes and this and that and the other thing. You know what's extreme? Labeling millions and millions and millions of people something because you don't like them. That's extreme. But even that wouldn't label you as the largest terror group in America. You know what would, though? You know what's extreme? Firebombing ICE facilities, calling for ICE facilities to be shut down. Democrat leaders saying get physically violent to Trump supporters, cause a scene, get in their face, kick them. Democrat supporters throwing quick cement milkshakes at people, showing up to conservative speaking events, getting rowdy, causing riots, breaking property and starting fires when somebody gets elected they don't like. Attacking Republican headquarters, throwing bricks through the windows, going to conservative commentators' houses and banging on their door. That's extreme. That's terrorism. How about when your political rival is having a rally, you incite a riot? That's what the Democrats did. Bob Cramer, Aaron Black, on record, on film, on tape. So yeah. How about the thousands of instances of the Democrats' voter base, Trump haters, powered by the media and the Democrat Party to go out and commit acts of violence against Trump supporters, people in Trump hats? So yeah, the Democrat Party is the largest domestic terror group in America, and it's only going to get worse unless they're stopped. And at the very top of the Democrat Party, folks, and the people behind them, they're never going to stop. They're wanting criminals. They have to go all the way. It's like, you know, some mass murderer in his final moments fighting in a shootout with the police or something. It's do or die. That's the mindset of the Democrat Party. They've engaged in such treason. They've engaged in such fraud. They've engaged in such criminality. They're going all the way. Now, their average voter is so brainwashed and propagandized and doesn't have a clue what's going on. They're just now the foot soldiers of the Democrat domestic terror group, which, again, has been exposed by Project Veritas. Look at the Bob Cramer, Aaron Black tape. Look at what the Democrats are doing, calling for violence and then firebombing ICE facilities. Look at the Democrats having their supporters go out and shoot up Republican baseball practices. Hell, there have been stories. There have actually been multiple Trump supporters shot in the streets for wearing a Trump hat. All the assaults, all of it. This is the Democrat Party engaged in domestic terror. So now what? Where does this go? What does history say? Well, if you look back at the French Revolution, you get a little bit of an idea of what's happening here. Where, see, they used to say if you were a traitor to the French communist violent revolution, they would just accuse you of being a traitor, and then you would go straight to the guillotine. They'd lop your head off, no questions, no judge, no jury, just decapitation. That's where the left is today. Now, we've got the story at InfoWars.com breaking it all down. We've got the report from Alex Jones coming up in the next segment breaking it all down. But if you go to InfoWars.com, left planning violent revolution modeled after reign of terror. That's the French Revolution. So again, this is what their plan is. Now, who knows what level they're going to end up at? But this is what they're at right now. They say you're racist. Okay, that gives you the right to punch someone in the face, throw a milkshake concrete bomb at them, firebomb an ICE facility, shoot a Republican congressman, attack a conservative commentator's house, dox a conservative commentator. So this is where they're at now. If the media or the Southern Poverty Law Center or the ACLU or a Democrat labels you a Trump supporter or your public is a Trump supporter, see, here's what they've done. They've put a blanket statement on all Trump supporters. This is the most racist, hateful, bigoted thing that you could ever do. And it's all done by the Democrats. They put a blanket statement on all Trump supporters. They're racist. They're Nazis. They're deplorable. They're this, they're that, the other thing. And so then their foot soldiers, their violent offenders, have now been justified to engage in violence. So what do? They shoot Republicans. They firebomb ICE facilities. They attack Trump supporters in the streets. They call for violence. They disrupt events. they get violent. They organize at the top of the Democrat Party with Aaron Black and Bob Kramer to start riots in Chicago. That's not the first time they've done it. That's just the first time it's been caught on camera, them admitting it. This is what the Democrats do. So again, this is where they're at. Blanket statement on all Trump supporters. You're a Nazi, you're a racist. The brainwashing propaganda kicks in. Violence is unjustified. And they just kind of step back and act like it's not happening. Hey, we're just calling out racists here. We're just calling out Nazis here. And then they say, oh, well, after, like, for example, when I confront Al Green, other congressmen have been confronted, they don't even disavow it. Ilhan Omar won't disavow the Democrat terrorism. Cortez won't disavow the Democrat terrorism. They love it. I mean, at least I'll give Al Green credit. He said, yeah, there shouldn't be violence against you. Well, you're the one that lied about me, Al Green. You're the one that lied about Trump, Al Green. But it's not just Al Green. It's the whole Democrat Party. And so where does it end? So can I just go out on the street and just say, oh, you're a racist. You should get your head chopped off. Oh, you're a Nazi. You need to be shot execution style. Is that where this goes? They're one step away. And so this is where the cucked conservative will say, you're too extreme. You can't use that rhetoric again. I'm not the one firebombing ICE facilities. I'm not the one seeing anybody in a political hat and punching them in the mouth. I'm not the one shooting up a political event. I'm not the one starting riots. I'm not the one starting fires. I'm not the one calling for violence. That's the Democrats. But you see, cuckservatives are so cucked that they'll say, I'm extreme. I'm the problem. That's what they do. They literally say, oh, InfoWars is the problem. Their rhetoric's too extreme. Oh, my rhetoric's extreme. I'm calling out domestic terrorism by the Democrat Party and giving all the examples, and I'm extreme. No, you're complicit at that point. So where does it go from here? When we come back, Alex Jones is going to break it all down. The story is at InfoWars.com. Left planning violent revolution modeled after Reign of Terror. We've been telling you about this. We've been telling you how they've been coordinating with Obama stay-behinds. We've been telling you about how they've been coordinating with social media to dox people. This is what they're doing. So again, Alex is going to break it all down with the French Revolution history. But this is the Democrat plan. Label you a Nazi, label you a racist, justify violence against you, call for violence against ICE and other government facilities and Republican commentators and conservatives, and then it's all hell breaks loose.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
It's been said a billion times or more, because it's true. Those that do not know history are doomed to repeat it. There's a very important report, a story, a history lesson by Peggy Noonan from the Wall Street Journal dealing with the French Revolution and the Jacobins, and pointing out the parallels between what happened during the original Red Terror and what is now happening here in America. Now, anyone who's listened to my broadcast over the years or heard Lord Monckton or others on would understand that Peggy Noonan's report actually only scratches the surface. Why she behaves like she has discovered the parallels between the Jacobins and the French Revolution, and that this is an epiphany that she's sharing with us. Now, I'm not saying that she's plagiarizing history. Again, I'm thankful that she's pointing out this key, but it is a little frustrating because it's basically baby food compared to steak and potatoes. The French Revolution was executed and carried out by agents of Adam Weishaupt and the Illuminati. That's mainline history. They were anti-Christian. They were anti-family. They wanted to get rid of the roles of mother and father. They wanted to get rid of the regular calendar. They wanted to change the days of the week to 9 or 10 days. Now, All of this is in her article. And she parallels it with the modern universities and all their new pronouns and saying, don't say America, don't say American. And she goes, it's crazy that history's repeating itself or that history's hiccuping. No, the truth is that the Jacobin Illuminati revolution and that nightmare system that killed so many hundreds of thousands of innocent people there was then kicked off again by V.I. Lenin in Russia, where they again targeted the family, attempted to destroy the original agrarian farming societies that enrage the Illuminati, because they want to overthrow the kings, the church, to set up their own system, and they're most threatened by the family and by rugged agrarian individualists that they can't control. They're worried about self-sufficiency, and they know that any centralized system they set up will end up being defeated by the rural communities once they discover how corrupt and bad it is. So what the establishment calls this is the final revolution. So whether it's the Jacobins in the late 1880s, or whether it is V.I. Lenin and the Bolshevik Revolution, or Joseph Stalin, or Mao Zedong and the Cultural Revolution and the Great Leap Forward, it's all the exact same garbage. And on the surface, they claim that they're atheists. They claim that they don't believe in God, that they are, quote, school teachers. They are schoolmasters. They are the university professors. That's who led the French Revolution. But their own internal documents have been made public. They actually intend to set themselves up as absolute God. So if they can take over the libraries worldwide in all Western countries and have children brought to fat men in clown outfits to be set on their laps, it's an act of psychological rape, an act of domination, an act of saying that there aren't two sexes, an act of making you submit to their insanity. It's cult brainwashing. There was a big article up on Infowars.com yesterday out of Estonia, which is totally run by George Soros now. So Estonia is constantly asking the U.S. to go to war with Russia. There they indoctrinate all the youth into the so-called gay pride events, and they mandatorily take the public school children to the famous art houses there where there's classical art of the family together and of men and women in strong roles. And a huge fat goblin woman hangs signs over that saying, this is bad, I am good. Then she unveils herself with giant rolls of fat and begins saying obscene things about sex with huge artificial vaginas and bodies and dildos piled up all around her. And when the children try to turn away, she moves in with her goblin form like Baron Harkonnen and demands that they worship her. You can see the look of sickening domination and rape as she's psychically raping and feeding off of them. And as her other lesbian lieutenants look on with extreme pleasure as the young males are made to worship the obscenity. Why is it the same here, the same in Europe, the same all over? Because this is lesser magic. These people are into the occult. And if they can openly unclothe themselves in front of your children, then it will normalize it, just like John Podesta's brother, Tony Podesta, in 2007 was in the Washington Post, and he said, I'm into deviant art. I have a basement. And he showed them photos, the Washington Post, of chained up little three-year-olds being tortured and being raped. But he said this is art, and the media fetishized it and posted it and celebrated it, that they were showing what they're doing to everyone in plain view, and there's nothing you can do to stop them. This is called lesser magic, and this is the foundations of the grand grimoires and all the things that the satanic church and the rest of it is established in today. That at the bottom of the rat hole is the ritual abuse of children, as we now all know. And as more of it breaks every day. And so you're seeing them try to psychically and spiritually dominate us and announce, we kill babies after they're born. We keep them comfortable. You're seeing all the other announcements when we go out to leftist events where they come up and go, I don't like these little kids. I don't like hearing their little voices. That's the demons letting you know that they are in control and in command, hoping you just give up by sheer fear or hopelessness. The truth is they're beginning to lose their power. It's going to get worse before it gets better, but I challenge you to go read the article linked up on the left-hand side of drudgereport.com. We're going to link it up on Infowars.com as well. I did a lot of reports on this over the years, but you can't find them on YouTube because my name is unsearchable, basically. But I'm going to have Lord Monckton, who's former chief advisor to Margaret Thatcher and quite the historian, on to break down the Jacobins, the roots of the modern Communist Party, Antifa, globalism, the New World Order. But he'll explain, of course, that it goes back further than that to the legalists and others that were in ancient China. And they create lots of little word rules and lots of little things you got to follow, or you get imprisoned and or executed. And so we're going to be breaking this down because historically it's important to get this back on the public record so people understand that this is all by design. This isn't a mistake. This isn't an excuse. This isn't a malfunction. It isn't some weird thing that keeps popping up everywhere. This is a formula to dominate you and your family. And the answer is thanking God for all the great things we have, getting on our knees, being good parents, being good members of the community, being strong and not submitting to the left and them saying, oh, just prove you're not hateful. Prove you're nice. Say a big fat man in a clown outfit's a woman. Put your child on their lap and let them ride horsey. That is a demonic simulation of pedophilia, and we all know it. We need to say, no, you are a fat, evil man that wants access to children. We must all stop by increments, you know, try to be friendly and trying to get along so we don't get bullied, so we don't get attacked, or so everybody's friendly and nice. There's no level of submission that is ever going to be enough for these people because this is Satanism. This is a plan. This is being carried out. And this is the reality of what we're facing. And that's why they want Infowars.com and Newswars.com and PrisonPlanet.com and those URLs taken down. It's why it's so important that you let everyone know that the real defense, the real battle cry, the real emergency transmission, the real war horn being blown to warn people is Infowars.com. And I thank you all for breaking through the enemy's attempt to block us, their attempt to censor us. You have overridden their AI, and they're so angry, and humanity's coming back from the dead. But we've got to realize just how serious this is and understand why they want to overthrow the existing order that God gave us so that they themselves can play God. Now back to Owen Schroyer and the live global transmission that the only way it reaches out to people is when you spread the word about Infowars.com/show and local radio and TV stations in your area. We're counting on you. The children are counting on you. And I know that we're going to win. Thank you.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones. Is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show. And now, your host, Owen Schroyer.
Tucker Carlson, unbelievable Fox News host, probably the best on television. And last night he was breaking down or asking the question, what should happen to these, in my opinion, criminals that orchestrated the fake Russian collusion narrative?
After the most extensive investigation in modern American history, we found the truth. And so tonight we can say conclusively once again what we told you the day this all started. The whole thing is a crock. It never happened. They were lying to you. That's clear now. The debate is over. But that doesn't mean the Russia story has quite ended. There are loose ends. For 2.5 years, some of the most powerful people in America, supposedly serious, well-educated people, very smart people, these people made wild and untrue and totally reckless allegations about issues critical to the life of this country, all on the basis of no evidence whatsoever. It's hard to believe they did that, but they did do it. What should happen to these people now? Congressman Adam Schiff, for example. Schiff claimed he possessed actual evidence of Russian collusion. And he didn't just say that one time. He said it repeatedly.
And there is significant evidence of collusion. There is ample evidence, and indeed there is, of collusion of people in the Trump campaign with the Russians. I think there's plenty of evidence of collusion or conspiracy.
Well, in the end, you know what happened or didn't. Schiff did not produce the evidence. He didn't have it because it doesn't exist. Schiff was bluffing, which is to say, lying. He still is, actually. As of yesterday, Schiff was continuing to claim that the Trump campaign, quote, embraced foreign help, made use of it, and covered it up. In other words, collusion. Schiff still believes the collusion hoax. Or does he? Today, Adam Schiff went on CNN to carry water for his boss, Nancy Pelosi. Impeachment might not be a great idea, he told CNN's viewers. But wait, that doesn't seem to make sense. If Donald Trump is working for a hostile foreign power, as Adam Schiff has told us countless times that he is, how can we not impeach him? No one on CNN asked Adam Schiff to explain that contradiction, unfortunately. Not that it matters, because think about it for a second, and you'll see exactly what's going on. Adam Schiff never believed a word he was saying about Russian collusion. I suppose the good news is Schiff is not delusional. The bad news, though, is that Adam Schiff is a soulless liar. He's a man willing to say literally anything for political advantage. And that's really the worst of all. Being a lunatic would be much more appealing than that. Naturally, Washington being the place that it is, Adam Schiff has been richly rewarded for his shameless deceit. He is still the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. That's one of the most powerful jobs in all of government. Schiff is all but certain to be there for years. But what about his enablers? And there are a lot of them, the journalists, the pundits, the fellow lawmakers who helped Adam Schiff tell his lies. These are the people you remember who blithely accused the sitting president of the United States of treason.
The evidence suggests, indeed, Trump has been a pawn of the Russians.
But when you start to see a pattern where he basically spouts Putin's lies, then we have to ask the most unusual and a frightening question about our own president.
Why this president seems to be putting Russia's interests ahead of our own.
Well, Chrissy, the president's tweet trying to make the case that he's not a Russian asset really just undercuts his own defense. The president's tweet couldn't have been scripted better if it was written by Putin himself.
This is nothing short of treasonous because it is a betrayal of the nation. He is giving aid and comfort to the enemy.
And is there influence, whether witting or unwitting, by the Russians over President Trump?
The possibility, the very real possibility, that President Putin holds damaging information over President Trump.
Trump's eagerness to sell out America proves the Russians must have something personally, politically, or financially on President Trump.
It proves that Trump is committing treason. Think about what you just saw. The last person in that montage was Nancy Pelosi. As you know, she's the Speaker of the House, third in line from the presidency. She's the country's most powerful lawmaker, supposedly a wise and sober person. And if there she was telling you it's been proved.
Well, I mean, you could ask the question, what should happen to these Democrats that engage in this? But you could also ask the question, what's the punishment for treason?
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones. And now, your host, Owen Schroyer.
All right, we're in the third hour now. Nick Begich is going to take over in the fourth. Mike Adams is going to be joining me in just a bit. I want to open up the phone lines to take some of your calls today. 1-877-789-ALEX. 1-877-789-ALEX. Open line Friday. You want to talk about Epstein. You want to talk about Mueller. I want to talk about the Democrat infighting. I want to talk about the Democrat terrorism. It's all on the table today. 1-877-789-ALEX. We'll take your calls. Folks, we've got specials happening at InfoWarsStore.com right now that you're going to want to take advantage of. 50% off DNA Force Plus. 50% off DNA Force Plus telomere support formula. Go look at the scientific research that's been done on the ingredients like CoQ10 in the DNA Force. Plus, you're going to be amazed when you learn about telomere support. DNA Force Plus, 50% off at InfoWarsStore.com. Supermale Vitality, 50% off at InfoWarsStore.com. I'm having people inquire about InfoWars Life Select storable foods. They're saying, hey, you know, we've heard about storable foods, but how do we know they're good? How do we know they're good quality? I know enough about Alex Jones and InfoWarsStore.com to know that, A, we wouldn't put anything out that's not great quality. But I know for a fact, because this is the strategy, the InfoWars Life Select storable foods is the best quality. That's why it's called Select. So most emergency storable foods, you know, we want everything to be organic, non-GMO and everything. But, you know, most storable foods are just mostly meant to sustain for some substance, just, you know, emergency food. The Select storable food line is gourmet meals in storable food fashion. So it's not just, okay, I have emergency food that I'm going to be able to eat. It's I have emergency food that I'm going to enjoy. I mean, I don't want to like sit here and paint a dystopic future, but it's like, you know, the power went out for a year and everybody's, you know, eating whatever they have. And you're over here literally having like gourmet meals. Like you are the elite. That's the InfoWars Life Select storable food line. 50% off at InfoWarsStore.com. Take advantage of that, ladies and gentlemen. We thank you so much for shopping at InfoWarsStore.com. And when we have these specials, we want you to take advantage so that you can see how great the DNA Force Plus is. See how great the protein bars taste at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, the crew is aggregating the phone calls. And also remember that we will have coverage of the Clown World Part 2, the Democrat debate, two-night debate again, where it'll be featuring clowns like Beto O'Rourke polling at 0%. So I'm proud to announce that I am now tied with Beto O'Rourke for the Democrat nominee. Okay, let me just do a news blitz here before we start taking phone calls. President Trump on Twitter today, there may or may not be national security concerns with regard to Google and their relationship with China. Oh, hey, if there is a problem, we will find out about it. I sincerely hope there is not. Wow. Google should be shaking in their boots right now. They're being exposed from the inside, meddling and rigging U.S. elections and colluding with China now. This is big trouble for Google as antitrust investigations are beginning. Good news, Trump says Apple will not be given tariff waiver or relief for Mac Pro parts that are made in China. Make them in the USA. No tariffs. Love it. Love it. And then Trump says Fox News is at it again, so different from what they used to be during the 2016 primaries. Actually, President Trump, I know that you have to remember that Fox News did not want you to be president or get the Republican nominee. I think you're being kind here. But now he's calling out how Fox News is running the fake polls that say Biden is beating him. Any poll that says Biden is beating Trump is about as fake as a $3 bill. Moving on. Well, Biden basically, he knows he's basically dead in the water, and so he's trying to do anything to get his poll numbers up. He's saying, you can't let people say BS and not respond to it. That is, unless you're Trump. Then you're not allowed to say anything. Or Roger Stone, where they just gag you, and you're not allowed to talk when people make up everything and lie about you all day long. And the judge says, oh, Roger, you can't talk. This is great. This is classic, because I've been talking about this, and it's so obvious what the Democrats are doing. It's basic stuff. But because they're such good con men, they get away with it. Job Creators Network member warns Democrats are quietly trying to pass a massive payroll tax increase. So what do you do here if you're the Democrats and you need to increase taxes? You need to increase money coming in that you can steal. You first increase the minimum wage to $15 or $20 an hour. You then increase the taxes on payroll so that now it's not that the employer is getting $15 an hour. The employer is still getting less or whatever they were making before. The government gets that money. So let's say you're making $12 an hour. And now your employer says, okay, the government says I have to pay you $15 an hour. Okay, well, now you're getting paid $15 an hour, but your paycheck doesn't change because the Democrats just took that extra $3 of you from you in taxes. It's the greatest con game right in your face, and the Democrats just do it, and the average Democrat voter can't even see it. Stunning. So that's what they do. Oh,
we want to give you a minimum wage. And then they're like, oh, yay, look at, we're finally giving people a working wage. And then the Democrats come in and say, by the way, we're going to tax that wage. And it turns out, I guarantee you, if this works out, and I bet it will in New York, this will happen in New York and California, I'd bet on it. They'll make the minimum wage law. And if you were, let's say you're making $12 an hour now, and then they pass the minimum wage law, you're making $15 an hour. When you're making 12, let's say you're making $9 and change after you get your paycheck an hour with taxes. And then you're going to see, oh, you're so excited, you got your minimum wage increase. You're saying you're so excited, making $15 an hour, you get your paycheck back. It turns out, wait a second, I'm only making $8.50 an hour. When I was making $12 an hour after taxes, I made $9 and change an hour. Now that I'm making $15 an hour, I'm only making $8 and change. What's up with that? The Democrats just gave themselves more money. That's all they did. They increased the minimum wage so that they had more taxable income on you. And that's what's going to happen in New York and California. I guarantee it. Watch for that headline if they are able to get through with this. That's going to be next. Border's still wide open. Look, this is what's going on at the border, folks. Record 61,000 migrant children surge over border. 230 million spent for snacks, diapers, baby formula. And then we're told, we suck. They're treated like crap. You're a racist bigot. No, we do more for these people than any other country in the world, all other countries in the world combined. And then we're told we're bad. And meanwhile, we become economic slaves and our cities get more violent and dangerous with criminals and drugs and everything coming in. Don't believe me? Just wait until you see these stories. 16 Camp Pendleton Marines arrested by NCIS for alleged human smuggling and drug offenses. Where are they doing it? The U.S.-Mexico border. Here's one from The Independent. Like Frankenstein, women's head attached to man's body found lying next to bucket of human parts in lab. Where is this? Arizona. Why is this? Because the border's wide open. Video, border agents give illegals hand uphill around wall into America. So now literally we're helping them into the country. And so fine. And then we're just told we're bad. So we give them everything, healthcare, food, shelter, doctors, water, everything they want. Give them literally a helping hand. And then we're told we're racist, we're running concentration camps. Sick of it, man. And by the way, we pay for all of it. All of it. In pop culture, if you want to call it that, but its video is going viral. DC tourist savagely beaten, stomped, spit on by gang of youths at Hilton Hotel. Yeah, it's just like the other DC. It looked like they were Korean tourists or Chinese tourists. And the one aggressive anti-Trumper comes up and starts getting in their face, rips their hat off, throws it to the ground. These people are out of control. And then how about all the videos of the police? There's a new trend in New York where you just go up and you throw water, buckets of water, hit them with squirt guns on police. It's out of control. Total disrespect for the cops, but the cops are the bad guys. And then judge slashes Roundup verdict from $2 billion to $86 million. Boy, that's how they do that. Okay, the news is following this. Let's hit them with a $2 billion fine to get them off our back. And then, all right, they're not looking anymore. Let's slash it down to $86 million. Boy, Monsanto and Roundup win again.
The West is the best.
All right, we're going to your phone calls here before we're joined by Mike Adams. Real quick, though, you saw the president address Google and China today. Let me kind of put a bookend on that. Google's in big trouble. They got exposed twice by Project Veritas for all the election meddling that they're engaged in, the manipulation of search results, the bias. You then have Tulsi Gabbard suing Google for $50 million because of the manipulation they engaged in with her advertisements during the first presidential debate. Look, we told you they would never let Tulsi Gabbard win. I mean, you're seeing the power structure expose itself right now. Google is keeping Tulsi Gabbard out of office, or attempting to, just like they want to keep Trump out of office. So really, Trump and Gabbard should combine, but Gabbard's a purist. She never would. She goes for the whole fake Russian collusion hoax. And then Australia is about to get Facebook and Google to make their algorithms public. We'll see if that happens. And now Facebook co-founder campaigning to break up big tech monopoly he helped create, and that's Chris Hughes. So the big tech
machine is in trouble for all the power they have co-opted and now used to collude against the American Republic. You have China outlines space war plans. That's from Bill Gertz at the Free Beacon. Joe Manchin, the Democrat senator from Virginia. This is a pretty wild one, actually. China's promised an $84 billion investment in West Virginia. The West Virginia annual budget is $4 billion a year. So China's moving in with $84 billion into West Virginia. Not a big fan of Joe Manchin, but, I mean, at least he's got a head on his shoulders as a Democrat senator and is questioning this. Yeah. What is China doing in West Virginia? Then you have, this was pushed all over the national news and Yahoo, Hong Kong protests become a global problem, and now China is saying that the West, specifically the United States, is behind all the Hong Kong protests. So is that a conspiracy theory or what? So just some updates there. Now, let's go out to the phone lines. Let's go to, this is an interesting one. We've got some callers. Let's go to Maddie calling in from Alaska today. Go ahead, Maddie.
Hi. Oh, my goodness. I'm so excited. I just want to plug in on your guys' oxy powder. I had a hormone imbalance when I was 13, and my breast would start leaking fluid. And then I told my mom, like, Mom, let's get some oxy powder. Let's just try it. She's like, okay. So we tried it. And after I started taking it, my hormone imbalance went away. It was cleared. I was healthy as a horse, and it was awesome, especially your iodine and your B12, your female force, all of it. It's amazing. Your guys' products are awesome.
Well, we appreciate you shopping at InfoWarsStore.com. We're glad that you've had a good experience.
Yeah. And another thing I wanted to say, people, controversy about Jews and what they believe, the Talmud, for example, I'm Jewish. I don't go by that. Also patriot, obviously. But it has been edited multiple times, and the reason being has to do with the Vatican, the Pope. They hold a lot of the secrets of creation and religious stuff.
Yeah, and not only that, I mean, the Vatican, whenever there's like big archaeological discoveries that kind of would raise questions about human history, they immediately claim it and build a church on it and bury it. You've got the story where they're searching for this missing teen for decades ago, and they find a bunch of bones and human remains in the Vatican City. I mean, yeah, the Vatican and their role in covering up human history and manipulating the power structure is very important. Thank you so much for the call, Maddie. Let's go to Cody calling in from Vancouver. I guess Vancouver, you're in Canada. Go ahead, Cody.
J'accuse you.
J'accuse! Off J'accuse. With your head!
How's it going on?
Good, thanks for calling.
Yeah, I just wanted to get in a quick point. I've been listening to you guys for over 10 years. I listen every day. I hear you guys. I've been promoting Trump since the beginning and got me on the Trump train. And one thing you guys, I haven't heard you mention much, is that, or a theory that I have, is that the reason that Trump wants to build the wall or is so pro-wall is to stop the North American Union. Because I feel like if Hillary Clinton had to become president, 100% right now we'd be faced with the Amero.
Well, let me ask you this, though, Cody, before you go any further. Do you think Trump wants to build a wall?
I think so, for sure.
See, I don't know. I have to question that because he hasn't built the wall, and I feel like if he really wanted to, he could have.
I feel like maybe Congress and the Democrats are trying everything to stop him from doing that, and maybe he.
Well, there's no doubt about that. I'm not denying that. I'm just saying he could have built the wall if he really wanted to. I've always questioned whether he really wanted a wall or not, if it wasn't just a political pawn.
My theory on it is he's been aware of the North American Union, and it's kind of like a stopper to it. You know, putting a wall there kind of defeats their open.
I see. And it, yeah, kind of to like stop this from coming like an EU situation.
Exactly. That's what I've always
Yeah, I mean, you just had a story out of Mexico. There were some family, Mexican drug cartels, pulled them out of their car, shot them, executed them right in front of their kid.
Great. We should open the borders then.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're sending their best.
Another thing I wanted to mention quickly, too, there's a breaking story right now in Canada. There's not much on it because the RCMP is telling the media to not talk about it. But 2 days ago or three, well, I guess it happened a couple weeks ago, but they've been hunting these two teenagers who are 18 and 19, Cam McLeod, the other one's like Briar Schmaglacky or something like that. They're both from Port Alberni on the island. They thought these two males were missing and part of these murders that were happening in northern BC, but they've now made them the suspects. They're on a manhunt across Canada for these two. They're saying they're alt-right extremists. I read through tons of articles yesterday, like digging into the claims about them being all right. And to be honest, there's not much. There's one picture of the Briar kid with a Nazi tattoo or something like that, and then in army gear. But it also says that that kid was part of the communist, Victoria communist.
Well, you know what the media does, if they want to make it a story, you know what the media does? They'll take anything they can to try to label someone their political opposition, even though it sounds like this guy's just probably deranged and had communist stuff, Nazi stuff, whatever. But we'll follow that, Cody. Thanks for the call. Let's squeeze one more in here. Let's go to Jacob in Kansas. Go ahead, Jacob.
Hey, just give me 1 second.
Okay.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Thanks for calling.
You're the only one I haven't been able to get a hold of yet. I've already called Alex and David Knight one time, but I just had a quick point about you guys' ability to make money. Just one simple change you might be able to make on the website. And that would be like all you'd need to do really is there's all the info warriors out here really want to help out with the info war, and all you'd have to do is put a button on there that says what you like to pay full price
instead of the discounted price.
Instead of
you can donate. We have a donate tab.
InfoWars.com studios. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show. And now, your host, Owen Schroyer.
Mike Adams from NaturalNews.com joins me now. We're going to continue to take your phone calls. But, Mike, I know you want to weigh in on the Mueller testimony yesterday, but Mike, I gotta share something with you here real quick before we do this, okay? Are you ready for this? Are you ready for this devastation?
Ready.
Now, I'm sure you've seen the heat wave that's been recorded in Europe, Mike. And we've had record temperatures in Paris. They're saying it's up to 108 degrees. Well, I wanted to bring this exclusive out right here because the geniuses of the Democrat Party and the liberal media have figured it out that this is a direct result of Trump removing himself from the Paris Climate Accord, obviously. As soon as Trump removed us from that, the temperatures went up 20 degrees. But actually, Mike, I've got the exclusive. That's not even accurate. I know that's going to blow your mind that Trump removing us from the Paris Climate Accord didn't cause temperatures to soar in Paris. But I know what did, Mike. President Trump actually has a heat ray. And he's beaming it down on Paris right now. And so now Brian Stelter and Rachel Maddow and the rest of them, you guys can have this exclusive. Trump is literally beaming a heat ray down on Paris right now. And so that's why the record temperature. So this is totally Trump's fault. He's using his heat ray right now. And he got it from the Russians, by the way. It's Russian technology.
No, you're exactly right. I think you've nailed it. And he used the same heat ray to scramble Robert Mueller's brains. So Robert Mueller has been fried with the global warming beam, and that's why he's got no brains.
Heat ray.
Whatsoever. Yeah, exactly. No, look, the mass hallucination over climate change is pervasive, but it's really a sign of the insanity of the left, where, you know, a generation ago, everybody would have said, oh, it's summer. Things get hot. You can go back to photographs in the 1960s or the 50s of people playing in the fire hydrant water in New York City in the summer. Guess what? Summers are hot. Guess what? The Earth tilts on its axis, which means northern regions are exposed to more sunlight radiation during the summer months as the Earth is orbiting around the sun with a tilt relative to its orbital plane. But again, you can't explain physics to liberals because to them it's all pure emotion. Hey, maybe they've all had their brains scrambled with the heat beam. Maybe it's already happened, Owen.
Well, look, I don't know. I mean, it's really scrambled by the media. The media is the heat beam scrambling their brains where they fall for this whole Mueller thing. And if you just look at the left commentary, they're still claiming victory. They're saying, oh, more proof there's Russian collusion. There's still no evidence. Like, I've never seen this where you claim you know something and this is and there's just nothing. There's no evidence. There's zero.
Well, and plus the Robert Mueller logic is so twisted. So I have a bombshell for you here, Owen. After a long extended investigation, we have not found any proof that Robert Mueller is not a child raping pedophile. So that's Robert Mueller logic for you. You can
Yeah, no, that's right. We can't exonerate Robert Mueller from being a child sex trafficker. We can't exonerate him
from
that.
That's right.
We don't have any evidence to prove it, but that doesn't mean we can't exonerate him.
Exactly. That's his logic. Of course, we're saying this in satire. We're mocking his fried brains or scrambled brains. That should be a new meme, the scrambled brains for breakfast of Robert Mueller. A little cannibalism humor there for you. But the guy is totally insane, and his logic is so twisted. But as we know, the only person in Washington, D.C. who did not read the Mueller report was Robert Mueller. And he obviously didn't write it. It was obviously created by Rod Rosenstein, right? Or Rosenstein, however you pronounce it. That's the mastermind behind all of this.
It's pronounced rat, actually. It's pronounced rat.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for that, Chris. It's pronounced vermin, I think. Treasonous vermin scum.
Well, yeah, actually people believe it was actually written by Andrew Weissman, but it was clear that Mueller didn't write it because, and they say, oh, he didn't memorize the report. No, it wasn't even that. He didn't even have the instincts to know what was in the report. He didn't have the instinctual responses.
Now, think about it. If you were about to testify before Congress, and the world is on your shoulders, you're supposed to make Trump look guilty. You're supposed to underscore the call for impeachment. Wouldn't you have studied the report that has your name on it? I mean, if Robert Mueller was a college student, he would have failed the class. He would have been kicked out of the school for failing to do any homework whatsoever. And they say this guy's a hero? Look, I salute our veterans. I salute people who served in our military, but I do not salute somebody who served in our military and then, like Robert Mueller, to betray the country, is a traitor to America. That you don't get a free pass just because you served and then you later betrayed America. I salute everybody who serves America and then defends America. I want to be clear about that. And by the way, John McCain is in the same treason boat, as far as I'm concerned, as Robert Mueller. So there you go.
Well, you'd think that this embarrassment of a testimony would end the Russian collusion narrative, but it's only breathed more fire into it somehow, amazingly. This is the reverse opposite of the real world that we live in now with the Democrat, liberal, progressives. Let's take a call on this, and let's go to Brian in Iowa on the Mueller report. Go ahead, Brian.
The guy was asked about some spilled Gatorade up by the TV. No one knows anything, doesn't know anything. And then all of a sudden, he didn't read his own report? I mean, come on, seriously, who buys this stuff?
Yeah, he can't hear, he can't think, he doesn't know what's in the report. I mean, it's an embarrassment.
It's exactly what my kids do when I say, why is there Gatorade all over the TV?
Yeah, nobody was anyway, there. I don't know anything. What TV?
Exactly. They have no idea. Oh, must have been somebody else. Broke in the house and then spilled the Gatorade and then left.
It was the cat. It was the dog. We don't have a cat
right,
or dog.
Exactly. Exactly. And my point is that who's buying this stuff? Because I'm not on any side of the political aisle, and I'm not buying it.
Well, and that's my biggest, that's kind of my biggest question, Brian, and I'm glad that you mentioned that, because I'm sitting here saying if you're just a consumer of news, not even politicized, just neutral watching this, I mean, Again, I'm not a Republican. I just look at, I mean, I can just decipher what's real, what's not, who's a fraud, who's a phony, who's not, who's got evidence, who doesn't. I mean, so you're saying just as a neutral viewer, it's obvious how phony Mueller and the Democrats are.
They all use the same exact language, like they've been given a press brief. Okay, read from this, line from line, and if you deviate, just call someone a racist or, you know, a bigot or whatever. It's the ad hominem attacks that they like to do.
Yeah, that seems to be the lowest form of an argument that they engage in. But I would imagine the average American that saw this is A, embarrassed that this is what the country has gotten to, and then B, curious, why do we have a group of people going with a false narrative that they know is fake? Everybody knows is fake. Why are they committing to this? Do they have no shame? Are they in some sort of criminal collusion? And I think the most likely odd is the latter. Let's squeeze in one more call from Nolan in Illinois before the break. Go ahead, Nolan.
Hey, Owen and Mike. Real quick, I just want to plug Mike's documentary, Biosludged. Anybody who hasn't seen it should go check that out. My biggest question from the Mueller report was, why didn't any of the Republicans bring up Seth Rich and the entire, it was all fabricated around that. There's no way the Russians downloaded that. So, any thoughts?
Well, I think Seth Rich is kind of like an untouchable thing right now, honestly, in D.C.
Yeah, isn't that amazing that there are still topics that are off bounds, even to the patriots who are trying to defend this country? Like, you know, and by the way, to the caller, thank you for your mention of Biosludge. But think about it. You've got people in Congress today still can't question 9/11. And why did a third building collapse perfectly when the third building wasn't hit by an airplane? There you go. Wow.
Stop it, Mike. There was a plane crash in Pennsylvania, even though there was no plane. There was a plane that ran into the Pentagon, even though there was no plane. Wait.
Yeah.
No, Russian collusion. Yeah. It's amazing what the media can do to people. It's like, don't believe your own two eyes, you know? All right, we are in the last segment of the third hour. Nick Baggage will take over. Mike Adams is with me here, Owen Schroyer, in the Alex Jones Show. We've got a developing breaking news story right now. You may remember Jessica Yaniv, formerly Jonathan Yaniv, who has been in mainstream news for claiming discrimination because this female with male genitalia was refused a bikini wax. And it became a big story. And there was some other weird stuff around. And so Jessica volunteered to come on the Alex Jones Show, also went on the War Room with myself. You can watch those full interviews at Infowars.com. But now the latest is, and look, you know, here's the ironic thing about this. Is they say, oh, Infowars is intolerant, this, that, and the other thing. Folks, we ask everybody to come on with us. We literally ask anybody. The average liberal or Democrat won't come on. They won't do it. So it's like, yeah, we'll ask an LGBTQ activist to come on. We'll give him a fair interview. And we did. And we said, okay, thanks for coming on. No one else will do it. So it was kind of like, whoa, one of them finally came on. And it was so kind of, you know, it was kind of like a new thing to do where it's like, wow, a liberal, a Democrat, a progressive actually came on with Alex Jones, actually came on the War Room with me. And then people were more upset we weren't hardcore against during this interview. It's like, look, we want to be fair. We want to have people from different mindsets come on. We're, you know, this is the InfoWar. But now it's getting even weirder. The story's at Infowars.com from Kellen McBreen. Wax my balls, transgender, threatens to pepper spray reporter Dan Dix. And it's even crazier. Pulled the fire alarm in an elevator, called the police, was freaking out. And I believe we have the video of this right now. This is breaking, guys. Let's go to this short video.
Get out. Just a secure area. Get out. Get out.
This is a public space.
No, it's not. Get out.
Yeah, it is.
Get out or I will pepper spray you.
Excuse me? No, don't touch me, man. Don't touch me.
Go out now.
Hey, get
out.
Don't touch me.
You go out. Out. Out you go.
Pull the fire out. She just pulled the fire out.
I did. I am on the phone. Get in here. Get in here. Get in. In.
Very strange.
So progressive.
And I guess that's the mother. Very protective, very strange behavior. And, of course, this individual promotes topless pool parties for kids with you abandon your parents. Look, I asked him point blank, do you denounce pedophilia? Said yes, but this is getting odd. Alex Jones, I mean, what do you make of this strange video now where we gave this individual a chance and explain him herself, but the behavior is getting odder and odder?
Well, look, it's the standard deal with these people. Most of them are in the autistic spectrum. It's the brain damage from the vaccine to most of them. And then they're told by the media, the whole Caitlyn Jenner thing, this is how you're cool, you're protected, you're special, you're amazing, you're just stunning and brave is the famous thing about Caitlyn Jenner. And then these folks go out and believe this, and then they say, oh, you can't be on an elevator with me. You can't talk to me. I'm going to assault you. Then I'm going to pull the fire alarm. As he then gets back on his little dart mini scooter. Of course, it's one thing if you're 60 years old, got a broken back, or you're 50 years old and a broken back. But this guy gets up and down, no problem. It's a symbol of kind of the Walmart people culture we've seen. Not that people are bad to go to Walmart, but you know, that certain weird percentage where you see all the strange bizarreness. The left celebrates not being successful. They celebrate being weird and creepy. And just like these art displays all over the world now, it's not just drag queen story time. They're having these other events where big, giant, fat women take off their clothes, and then school children are brought in and just are almost vomiting and begging for help. But it's, and then all the women stand behind laughing as the young boys get scared by this. It's all about perversion. It's all about bullying. It's all about domination. It's all about teaching us that they're in command because they have the big corporate media. They have the big banks. They have Google. They have it all. But you know what? You don't have our soul. And I'm telling you right now, Google and Facebook and Twitter and all you scumbags, the American people of the world are overpowering you by word of mouth, by information, and citizen reporters are popping up everywhere, and you're not going to stop us, and we're going to protect our children. But I'm glad you guys played this. People should see the video at Infowars.com, the anti-free speech, the anti-press, but the courts worshiping a big fat blob of pink lipstick, going in and telling women, wax my genitals, and then getting them fired and getting places shut down and just creamily sitting there bragging about how he's destroying commerce and he's doing this. And it's all about bring me your 12-year-old daughters. Bring them to me. All is publicity stunts, knowing the more out of control they are, the more defended they're going to be. And there's a big report that we put together that's very important that I ask listeners to please email out, text message, and spread. But action alert, the left is now adopting and preparing for a violent revolution they've already launched. The headline is, going from memory here, we shot it earlier today, left preparing violent revolution based on the French Great Terror, the French Revolution. And they're actually admitting it. It's in the historical record. They know it. And they believe this is their third big wave. First was the French Revolution, then the takeover of Russia and China. And now this is the big enchilada, the takedown of Europe and the United States, where they will then openly establish their satanic pedophile kingdom, and it's not going to happen. So when you see people out there, you know, doing all this, they're just the low-level golems. They're just the foot soldiers. They're just the minions. They're the decoys to totally shock us. So when government tries to pass laws that, you know, pedophilia is legal, you're so sick of it all, you just tune out. Great job on the show. Another fourth hour is coming up in the war room. I'll be back this Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. The listeners and everybody are awesome, and I've been listening to you all day. Owen, well, I've been out here with my family doing a workcation a few days. And it's been amazing, and I can't wait to co-host with you, Robert Barnes, and other for Clown World 2, Meet America's Enemies, next Tuesday and Wednesday as well during the Democrat debate.
Yeah, this is all amazing, Alex, and it's impossible for you to get a break away from it, but we appreciate you calling in as all this breaking news is developing here. And so, of course, the Alex Jones Show back on Sundays as well, 4 to 6 p.m. Central, and I will be hosting the War Room. Once I depart from here, it's the Veterans Call-In Show. So if we have any veterans that want to call in and discuss some things, I open up the phone lines for 3 hours. But Mike Adams, naturalnews.com. I mean, you know, it's such a strange thing because, A, to me, this just shows how, look, we are honestly tolerant. We're open-minded. We want to hear all points of view. We don't discriminate from people coming on here. And we gave this individual a chance to explain their case. Obviously, you know, as more and more stuff comes out, this person seems more and more perhaps deranged. But it's like,
We call out the deranged behavior. We even give them a platform to try to explain themselves. Nobody else will. And then somehow we're still intolerant when we're just trying to explain this whole thing. But to me, this individual looks like, yes, maybe this is somebody that has some sort of maybe a mental disorder. I mean, it's tough to explain when you're behaving so oddly and you want to promote pool parties for topless teens.
No, you're right. I mean, we're watching the attempted normalization of mass mental illness, where if you don't go along with it, then you are called intolerant or you're called filled with hatred. But look, I want to bring your attention to a tactic being used by this individual, according to many, many media reports, which is, and it could apply to other people who use the same tactic. You take a biological man. First, they claim to be a transgender. So then they say they're a woman. And then they claim to be a lesbian woman, which means they want to have sex with young girls. So now they're a double victim class. So number one, they're a transgender, which you can't criticize. And then secondly, they're a lesbian transgender, which you can't criticize. So then all of a sudden, you're supposed to worship and embrace and celebrate all the pedophilia, like the 12-year-old topless, you know, pool parties where no parents are allowed. This is a trick. So you see, once society accepts this idea that there are, that you can change your gender by waving a magic wand, then anything goes. Anybody can claim to be anything. And with each stage of the self-delusion, you then have another victimology status that is achieved, like badges of victimology. You see what I mean, Owen? How this trick is being played?
Yeah, instead
of just
about this
an
too,
old
Mike.
Pervert guy.
But it was like, yeah, what is real progressivism? Because they have this whole facade like this is somehow progressive. This is not progressive. What is real progressivism?
No.
Real progressivism is building a society, you know, having a culture where society functions. Like, I like to make sports analogies. This is like if you're a baseball player or you like watching baseball, and so you're out watching a baseball game, and there's a guy in center field wearing football uniform and a football helmet, and he's out there tackling people. And you're like, what is going on? Why is this football player here? Yeah, that's a trans athlete now. That's a football player on a baseball field. If you don't accept that, you're bigoted.
As a linebacker.
And you're like, right. No, wait a second. This is a baseball game. There's rules. It's organized. It's like society. We have rules in society to keep it organized and functioning. They just want to break it all down. They don't want a functioning society.
Well, every day, you know, we publish a lot of science and medicine articles. Every day we're publishing articles, research showing that men and women are different. Their brains are different.
How dare you, you bigot?
Their biology is different. They are not the same.
How dare you? They teach this. By the way, they teach this in mainstream college courses, but Mike Adams is a bigot because he said it.
Yeah, right. Exactly. No, if you believe in biology and science, now you're a bigot. That's what it's
come to. You're a bigot. You dare. How dare you believe? In fact, there is no such thing as reproduction. It's a social construct. That reproduction is a social construct. All right, that does it for me and Mike Adams. Nick Begich takes over.
What I hate is looking up and seeing chemtrails in a clear blue sky today.
And welcome back to InfoWars, InfoWars.com, and this is Nick Begich standing in this fourth hour. You know, I want to switch subjects. You know, we've been dealing with a lot of news again this week. I mean, it's like the endless chain of events in the clown wars and stuff going on with Epstein and Mueller, all of it. But I want to get into a different subject. So I'm going to change the subject today for this last hour on a Friday afternoon. I want to talk about rights and land and sort of what goes with it. Because a lot of people don't get this, especially younger listeners. And this, again, some of that sort of multi-generational knowledge in past segments I've talked about. You know, what is the real values, national wealth, where is it housed and how does it work and what is it, you know, and it's those things that we hold in common, whether it's the airwaves, you know, the broadcast waves, which used to be held in common, or the internet, you know, and that's that whole free speech question, right? But there's a lot of rights that have been confused and lost in the shuffle over the last decades, really, and because it's just not common knowledge. People don't think about this stuff. But when you think about rights and the four factors of economic production, which I've talked about before, and I'm going to just mention them briefly again to bring this into focus. And those four things of real value are entrepreneurship as one, labor as two, natural resources, which includes land, which is three, and then capital, which is not money, but capital equipment, things that make other things, from a shovel that you can dig a ditch with to a factory. Those are things that are capital. And in between all those four factors is currency, cash, whatever you use, gold coins, it doesn't matter. Whatever you're using that everybody agrees on between there, and it does matter, actually, but for this illustration, we're just saying those are the four factors. And the one I want to focus on today is the natural resources and what that really means. And air rights, which I kind of touched on, you know, broadcast rights as being part of that, but also the rights above your land. You know, you can sell air rights. And in big cities where you're building high rises, you know, you might keep the surface estate and, you know, sell what's above your house. You know, if you can finagle it for something to go over your house. So there's a right there. There's value there that you can capture and sell. Air rights, and it's, you know, for those who can see it on, you can see it on the screen. But that's a whole category of rights that we don't even think about that generally run with your land. They go with the surface estate that you buy when you buy a piece of land. But let's talk about that surface estate, because that varies depending on what you buy and where it is and how the title reads. Because when you get into the surface estate, In my part of the world, for instance, modern titles don't have in it the mineral rights, as an example. And everything pretty much that was modern, I would say, from the 1950s and later at least, west of the Mississippi, a lot of those land titles don't have energy rights or mineral rights. They just have the surface estate, which is the use of the surface along with, you know, reasonable depth for foundations and water lines and sewers and so on. But the minerals, to take them out and sell them, you don't have that right. Or whether it's metallic minerals like gold and silver and that kind of stuff, or whether it's non-metallic like gravel and sand, you know, unless your patents on that land, those original titles go back far enough where those rights ran with the land, ran with the patents. And in subsequent deeding of those future titles and warranty deeds, someone didn't reserve that right to themselves, which often happens when you buy surface estates and these older properties, like in Texas and other areas, people reserve the mineral rights for themselves. But we're going to get back in to the fourth factor of economic production, natural resources, when we come back. And, you know, we get into this whole topic because these are things most people don't even think about in the 21st century, and they're fundamental to liberty, property rights, and the American way. We'll be right back.
Listening to The Alex Jones Show with Nick Begich.
And welcome back this Friday afternoon. And, you know, I want to talk about where I left off. And I'm talking about this four factors of economic production, the natural resource segment of that. And why? Because it has to do with most of us thinking about where does wealth begin? You know, land. Think about land and what it represents. And when, you know, that was, a, you know, when we think about the 13 colonies, even the very beginning of land rights, you know, people coming over here, and that was, you know, the king owned the land and had given it to people, and they had parceled it out, and people were buying some titles and getting titles, what they called original titles, although there's aboriginal title too, which is a discussion for another day. But, you know, it's all about land rights. You know, an Aboriginal title was a big thing, you know, and throughout the country, because it, in Alaska, my region, actually, I got to see it in my lifetime. My dad settled the Aboriginal titles issue, at least part of it, here in Alaska. But surface estates became sort of complex, and it was recognized when things under the land became highly valued, like the minerals and the oil and gas, because oil and gas wasn't anything in 250 years ago, but it was certainly something 100 years ago. So what started happening is you see the same globalist sort of hijack from the king giving these major deeds of land across what they called the colonies. And eventually, you know, we said, hey, those deeds aren't any good. Those titles aren't any good. We have a revolution and get rid of those titles and start something different. And we had homesteading, which allowed you to go and stake 160 acres and claim that boundary and improve upon it in some manner, build a house and agriculture and so on. And then you got a warranty deed, a title, eventually a patent from the government for that original land. And with it in the old days were all the rights, the water rights, the riparian rights. The water flowing through the land was yours, and you could dam it and use the energy and hijack the water for your agriculture, you know, do whatever you needed to, because those rights ran with the land. You know, it was part of your deal, you know, and so you did. You see that on the eastern United States predominantly, with riparian rights are intact, whereas in the West, they're not. So again, surface estates are pretty complicated, and we get back into the fundamentals of surface estate. And then underneath it, you have the mineral rights, which most people, again, don't think too much about. But if you have those mineral rights, these are valuable rights. And if you have mineral patents, they give you the mineral right. And if they're old enough, the metallic and non-metallic, in other words, all the mineral rights and the surface estate and the water rights and the timber rights and the air rights, essentially all the rights and fundamental uses of the land under mineral patents. Under surface estate patents, not necessarily so. So you have to look carefully. If they're old enough, they carry those rights if they haven't been otherwise reserved, or split titles, which often happens. I mean, most people don't think about this. People in Texas know about this because there's private ownership of oil and gas rights, Pennsylvania too, and other parts of the East. And so these underlying rights all of a sudden have value when you discover oil and gas or other valuable minerals, and you own all those rights. But for the most part, the West, that's not the case. But we have a lot of other rights when you think about it. And here's some things at BLM, and you hear this in the news every once in a while. You hear people fighting over grazing rights, which is where public lands and private lands both were leased or granted for a reasonable use, grazing rights, the right to graze those public lands in a responsible way, and essentially you're farming public lands, but it was practical, it made sense. Why should you own the land underneath when you really just need the grazing right if you can manage that? And the same is true with agricultural rights. Often people split that title and they allow people to lease their agricultural land, and they may keep their house or something of this nature. And people understand these kind of rights that run with the land. But water rights are pretty special. You know, in a lot of jurisdictions, you go to the state and get a permit, you know, or when they cross state boundaries, there's maybe federal jurisdiction, you know, in terms of what goes on with water. And what a lot of people don't know about water, where it comes through your land in the West, you need a Corps of Engineers permit if you're going to take something out or put something in. A lot of people don't know that. So you can span it above the high water mark. You can span it, not require the Corps of Engineer permit. But, you know, you think about it, you don't really own what's going on in that waterway when it runs through your land. Or if it's wet, the same is true. And Environmental Protection Agency, this is interesting, you know, the Clean Water Act, which gives them jurisdiction of anything that drains into the ocean or into navigable waters, which have some value to, you know, everyone. But they dump eventually into federal waters, and they eventually all do because that's how it goes. So it gives jurisdiction to the EPA over any discharge into a stream. So there's that. But again, it's water rights. You know, what's going on with the water? You don't really control. It's regulated by a number of agencies. Those are a couple of them. And then navigable and non-navigable waterways. You know, in the case of navigatable waterways, you know, those can't be restricted jurisdictions in the West and in my part of the world, in Alaska particularly, where you're allowed to transit, that the water column, the column of water, not the land under it or around it, but the column of water, if it's navigatable, is public access, because that was a way that people gained access to land historically. And that's why that right of access and water columns remains. So it's a restricted right and an open right. You know, if you think about it, if you got a river running through your land, there's some things you can't do. It's navigatable water that you could do if it wasn't, for instance. So these are things that most people don't really think too much about, you know, in terms of land titles, and why they're fundamentally important is this is the base of wealth, if you think about it. So the further you go west, in the which is the later in history you get, the globalists figured out that you want to reserve some rights to government because it's easier to corrupt a government than it is a whole bunch of individual people. So if you really want to think about it in a broader, bigger picture, it's about retaining rights to government for some public purpose, theoretically. But in the end, so much of those public purposes get hijacked to private profit, which is fine, too, in terms of how it should work when it's in a balanced way. But it's not balanced anymore. Let me give you a couple examples. Homesteading up until the 1960s, which is not very long ago. I remember it. As a little kid, it was still going on. In the 1960s in Alaska, you could still homestead 160 acres if you were 18 years old and an American and went and homesteaded and surveyed it within so many years and lived on it within so many years out of seven. Then you owned it. And I think it was 7 years. You had to live on it 7 years. And then it was reduced to 5-acre home sites and commercial sites and trading posts, which were 5-acre parcels and 10-acre parcels that you could claim. You could go out on BLM land, federal land, that was unappropriated and undesignated, which was most of Alaska at that time, and you could just lay in your four stakes and then survey it later and reside on it for that period of time, 5 to 7 years, and you owned it. It was yours, you know, and you had to pay the patent cost. It was $1.25 an acre. It was pretty inexpensive, you know, when you think about it. And patenting was like the way, the recourse into the land. And these were private things that you and I could do on unappropriated public land. And it was the way the federal government stayed out of the business of owning everything. Because on the East, you'll note that there's not much reserved for public land, libraries, some parks and preserves, but not the massive taking. Most land is private in the East. In the West, most of it's public lands. And that's a question of why is it public lands and what are the rights that are being reserved and what happens in the future and who owns those rights, because those are our rights and it's our wallet. So stay tuned. We'll be right back with these brief messages.
The Alex Jones Show, because there is a war on for your mind, with Nick Begich.
So, land rights, and what's the real agenda, you know, and what does all this really mean, is where we kind of left off in the last segment. And I was talking about the sort of taking of those rights, and I want to elaborate on that theme a bit. But I want to finish up with the water rights, because here's the things attached to water rights. That's your water column. If your titles are old enough, you might own your water column. Your land under it, if your titles are old enough, of course you own that. The navigational aspect is irrelevant if you own it. But being able to dam it and use the energy off of it or use the water for agricultural uses, these are riparian rights, things that you can do when you own all the rights that ran with the land. And the energy aspect, even going back to colonial times where mills, you know, that ground wheat and later were mechanized to run cotton gins and so on, using the mechanical force of water. And those techniques are forgotten. You know, look up old books on water rights. But more importantly, look up hydroelectric today, what you can get out of it. And you need very little motion to get a lot of energy. And when water just ran through your land, extracting a little energy out of it was kind of normal. You know, they used paddle wheels, very simple devices. You could buy them at the hardware store 100 years ago, and they'd fit in your stream. They generate a certain amount of electricity. You'd plug it direct in, or you'd use inverters and convert it to AC. You know, but the point of the matter is, this is still knowledge available if you know what runs with your land in terms of your rights and what you might have on it. You've got a lot of potential in land. Most people don't even think about it. And it's fundamental. You know, on the image is a dam where the water's being used and the head pressure's being used and to create a mill. For sawmill, for goodness sakes, that's what they were all about, right? Was turn the water, turn the blade, you know, and reducing gears to get it there. You know, these are important things. So, but today you need permits. You put something in the water or out of the water, you know, there's Corps of Engineers involved and the EPA and everybody else. So it's a different ball game in the 21st century how it all works. But, you know, there's workarounds, you know, on water rights, for instance. If you just lay a hose in your water and lay it in, as long as you don't have anything attached to the below the high water mark, cable it up above the high water mark and drop it in. And then you bring your line somewhere downstream out of the stream above the high water mark, and you can take the power out of it that way, and that's legal without all the permitting. But the point is, to get energy, what a great deal, you know, out of just the flow of water and the use of essentially the differential in height, gravity, and water flow to get what you need. And, you know, when you think about, again, the regulation of the basic rights through the various agencies was sort of part of it. And then the reserving of rights, the government was the other part of it. And then the theory on that was these rights would be somehow available or the wealth would be shared by the nation, which is not the case in most cases. It's marginalized pretty much. But let's look at some of the rights. I was talking to Connor off the air, and I'm going to be headed out to my property in the bush that I have with partners. And it's 812 acres of a mineral estate that has all the rights that run with the land. And my original patents were granted by Roosevelt, first one, Teddy Roosevelt, in the early 1900s. So I have the water rights, the mineral rights, the non-metallic mineral rights, surface estate, timber rights, air rights, everything, you know, the whole package that runs with the land. And it still has subject to, you know, modern day regulation, of course. But the point of the matter is I can still extract the minerals. I can still utilize the water, and I can still utilize the land in a way that is productive. And that's why mineral patents and homesteads, which I was talking about in the last segment, were originally granted. It was a way to move land into the hands of the public for those willing to put in the prudent man test, which was, are you willing to spend your life's blood and your money to go do something and get it done? And if you are, then you get to have it, you know. And in the old days, it was like an axe and a grub stake, and you went out and you were able to homestead. So you staked your 160 acres, you know, and you chopped down the trees and made a cabin, and you knew how to do all this. The average man knew how to do this. Or you got a book and you figured it out. A lot of people failed at it too, miserably, that came over here with a dream and not a reality check on how back-breaking, miserable that was, chiseling something out of the wilderness. But the fact is, you had the opportunity to do it, no matter who you were. And this was the wonderful part of what was possible in the United States. You know, so homesteading was made outlawed. Home sites, and as I was talking before the break, home sites were these 5-acre tracts, and then trading post sites or commercial sites were these 5-acre tracts that you could still claim on BLM land, which was a lot of land in the West. There was still quite a bit of it that was unappropriate and undesignated. And so the fact that they ended that in the 1970s, they quit appropriating money and then eventually regulated it out. Now you can't do it. You just can't do it. It's just all public land now. And the sad story, if you look under the Constitution of the United States, it says that the only thing the federal government is supposed to reserve is post offices, military establishments, land for those purposes, and some other, you know, rational public purposes, transit corridors and so on that we all understand. But to keep the bulk of the land, the majority, like in Alaska, see, Alaska, only 1%. Now, first, let me put it in perspective. This is 20% or actually 18% of the whole nation, about a fifth of the nation. Of that, only 1% is in private hands in Alaska because homesteading and all that got shut down way too early to open the state up to the possibilities of what was here. The state made a couple attempts, didn't work, because wherever they made homesteading legal, you had to build infrastructure, schools, roads, bridges, so on. And really what need to be open is where people are, not where you some weird planner thought, well, let's just give up this marginal anyway. No, you release land where it is so you can develop and keep footprint rational. And then you open up the mineral areas and the oil and gas areas and the potentials. And I want to talk about mineral rights in the next section because we still have that intact. There's still aspects of that that we still, as average Americans, 18 years old and a citizen, have certain rights that a lot of people don't understand. And I want to talk about that in the context of the 21st century, because the possibilities still exist for those willing to risk it and take challenges of what that might be. And those challenges are being looked at. You know, Alaska, a lot of it, people have never in the modern era walked on it. And even in the last 10,000 years, because a lot of it, over 40% of the glaciers have receded. And in that, in receding, have uncovered lands that haven't been seen in 12,000 years or 50,000 years, perhaps. We're going to be back after these short messages. Remember, InfoWarsStore.com, that's where we're supported, where we're able to bring you the broadcast that you're hearing today on a Friday afternoon. This is Dr. Nick Begich, and we'll be right back.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones. And now, your host, Nick Begich.
And welcome back again on this Friday afternoon. And right before the break, I was talking about, again, the basic four factors of economic production. The one I'm focusing in on today is natural resources. In the context of my own life, you know, I mean, in Alaska and why Alaska is important. And I bring it up often, not just because I live here, but because this is the treasury, ladies and gentlemen. And I'll tell you why. And I started to explain this. Private land in Alaska, the land that you and I own, private parties own, and even corporations own, for that matter, is 1% of the entire state of Alaska. That's it. 9% is indigenous control through native corporations and village corporations are quite different than what we normally think about. It's a hybrid corporate structure that dealt with native land, indigenous settlements. And then the 20% is owned by the state of Alaska, which really ought to be most of the rest. But 70% is owned by the federal government. And when you take that into consideration, and those who have a map and look at this, you know, there's like nothing that's really privately held. Now, the state has divested itself in recent days, and some boroughs, which are equivalent to counties here, have done the same, and they sell some land from time to time. Even some of the native corps have done that, but not much. And I don't think they should. I think they should keep their land base. If anything, we should be expanding the private land base. Which I was talking about during the just before the break. And I talked about homesteading ending in the 60s, home sites and trading posts and commercial sites ending in the 1970s. But what didn't end is mineral rights, the right to stake and claim unappropriated mineral rights on federal lands, BLM lands, throughout the United States. And you have to look for the specific jurisdictions. But you're not able to grab usually the oil and gas rights. What you can get are the rocks, gravel, and the minerals, metallic minerals, depending on where those public lands lie. So claiming those rights you can do now, but here's the deal. Now, this is where the catch-22 and those listening in the Trump administration and in the Republican Party and Democrats that believe in progress need to reexamine this, because the right to patent mineral properties still exists today, where if you go out as a private citizen and stake and locate a valuable claim, you can have what's called an unpatented mining claim immediately, and you can permit it for development and work, but you'll never get it financed unless you have a surface estate. So you got to do that generally out of cash or risk capital, certainly. For the state of Alaska, you never own the surface estate either. You get a mineral lease, which on state land you can then extract. You have a royalty arrangement with the state and the tax base for the state and so on. But on the federal land, you get that right as a unpatented mining claim, and you can begin to develop it. In fact, you have to do a certain amount of developmental work every year to keep it. $100 a year or $200 a year, very minimal amount on federal land, and on state land, pretty minimal too, in most cases. And what you can do, though, is under the theory is that as you discover something that's commercially viable and it's worthy of substantial investment, you used to be able to go to patent. And the law still allows you to go to patent, but it hasn't been funded in a couple of decades. In other words, the law is on the books. It says, yes, of course, go out and discover something and then claim it. But we won't give you the patent because there's not a nickel in the federal budget to effectuate the law, to compel the law to grant the patent. Now, I know that patent fees haven't been revised in a century, so we ought to take a look at this, because these are, after all, public lands, and we ought to get, you know, 2019 value instead of 1880s value, which is what you're dealing with here, because a lot of the mining laws go back to the 1800s, and those laws are the ones still on the books with minor amendment. When the income tax came in, and I've mentioned this in the past, they created for the mineral owners, which was by then oil and gas industry and mineral estate owners who had gotten public lands, unappropriated public lands, by making discovery and making patents, or those original owners had sold to big corporations and globalists or others, you know, the Guggenheims and the Morgans and the others that owned all this stuff, especially in my part of the world. And then they developed those resources and exported that money and did all the stuff they did with the wealth of the nation, ladies and gentlemen, which was free and open to us. Now it's not. So what happens is, in a national emergency, let me give you the scheme. In Alaska, what they did, and this is a longer story that maybe we'll get into today, but under the Native Land Claims Settlement Act, there was a section. This was passed by my dad in the early 70s in the Congress. And it was in that was a section called Section D2 that my dad, unfortunately, was lost on a plane, conveniently, I should say, because how that got implemented after his disappearance was exactly the wrong way. But in any case, what ended up happening is D2, then they defined it later in 1980 under piece of legislation in the Carter administration that reserved 104 million acres. Let me say that again, 104 million acres. And it was supposed to be the final and last taking, hijacking of the mineral right from Alaska into federal hands that could never be developed, except under one condition. I'll get to that in a moment. But think about this. What was once held in the public estate all of a sudden got reserved. And when we settled our statehood act in 1959, you know, when it passed, and I was a territorial citizen. I was born when it was still a territory here. But I can tell you what happened in all of this is it was supposed to be the final taking. And what was supposed to happen under our statehood act is all oil and gas and mineral wealth under state land and under all federal land would go to the state. In other words, all rents, royalties, whatever the federal government made on federal land in this state went to the state, because under state rights and the sovereignty theory of states, most of that land should transfer to the state. But we decided, in the interest of the nation, for a lot of reasons, and in the interest of the state, under our Stater Act, that we would keep 90% of the rents and royalties on the land and let the federal government have control of the surface state, which we thought was a good idea. Until later, they decided to lock up 104 million acres that would never be developed unless there was a national emergency. But here's the story. In these parks and preserves, I was the last hard rock miner in an area called Kantishna, Alaska, just north of Mount McKinley in the central part of our state, Mount Denali today. And the Kantishna Mining District was and is one of the golden jewels of the world in terms of its minerals. And when I was there on the surface, working a surface deposit was running between 100 and 130 ounces of silver per ton and 1 to 10 ounces of gold per ton and 15% lead on the surface, a veining structure that I had traced for about 100 feet on the surface, 10 feet wide, and had sunk on 10 feet deep. And I can tell you, you know, there was just one of many in this one valley, and the whole region was riddled and had a history, all locked up in parks and preserves. But under a national emergency, strategic minerals, all of a sudden the game is alive, because there also were major deposits of antimony and lead and zinc and other strategic minerals vital to national defense. And someday, in a national emergency, all these parks and preserves will be open for mineral location, but only to the globalists who funded bankrolling the taking of 104 million acres as a major reserve that someday they would get to exploit when they exploit the next emergency for strategic minerals in the United States. I want to talk more about that after these brief messages. You're listening to the InfoWars.
From Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Nick Begich. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
And welcome back. You know, during the breaks, I get a chance to talk to the Connor, who's today producing a program with Daria in Texas. You know, we do all this from all these different places. You know, I'm sitting here in Alaska. They're down there in Austin. And here we are talking to you all over the world on issues of fundamental rights, basically. And we are talking about land rights throughout this segment and sort of some of the fundamentals about that and how these things interrelate to our lives personally and what they have to do with us in terms of historical knowledge, which people don't grab anymore. There's a lot of this gets lost in the shuffle. We were talking at one point about giant vegetables in Alaska. And for those that get the video feeds, I don't know if Connor found any of those, but, you know, agriculture rights, you know, which is an important thing. And, you know, climate change is truly happening, whether you agree with the lefties that it's, you know, that all this change is related to man, but I don't necessarily agree with that at all. It's mainly nature. But giant vegetables, you know, 100-pound cabbages that taste great, you know, giant zucchinis as big as a child, you know. Giant vegetables here at the in Alaska, you know, and there's images of our state fair, some of the giant stuff we have. And why is that? Well, there's a couple of reasons. We don't use pesticides and fertilizers here. What we have is colloidal materials. And what are those? Those are microparticles, submicron sizes, nanoparticles that are created under two ways. One is by volcanic eruption, which kicks up from the deep earth all of the minerals from deep stratas and scatter them all over. For those watching the mineral feed, this feed can see the pictures, but these minerals scatter. And what also you have is glaciers grinding the rock for thousands of years, for millennium upon millennium. And then as they receded, all the dust blowing in the air and forming clays and blowing up every time the wind blows here, scatters these particulates back on the leaves of plants. And in the morning, when plants hear the songbirds in the morning. And if you wake up early enough, you'll hear them, even if they're still breathing in your part of the world. You'll hear them. And what happens is the plants, actually the pores on the plants dilate, and they actually suck in the morning dew or the moisture and any dust particles that naturally, or pollutants for that matter, and they suck them into the plant. So plants both feed from the leaves, from the foliar feeds, and from the root systems. So minerals are important. That's why we have these giant vegetables. They say, oh, it's a long sunlight. Well, certainly that matters. But it's the soil, it's that input. It's the solar input, you know, part one, water input, part two. Our water is exceptionally good. And it's carrying colloidal minerals also in the glacial tills and glacial materials and so on that it's washing through. So it's dissolving those that are dissolvable. And so you have this, all of the synergies of this region, and now climate is changing. Now what's happened that people want to fight about, I want to fight about. But here's the truth of the matter. In the last 13,000 years, the oceans have receded, have, you know, gotten deeper, actually. 300 feet in 13,000 years. It's about 3 feet per 100 years, what we're forecasting. That's the average, 3 feet per 100 years. Because the glaciers, where I'm sitting right now, used to be just 2,000 years ago, were a mile thick over my head here in Anchorage. So, you know, things have changed a lot before automobiles and before humans' carbon footprint. So but that's a show for another day. But the fact is driving all of our regulation today, that's defining how our cultures live and thrive. And I want to talk about the regulatory side also on the surface estate uses. You know, I mentioned in one of the past segments, the Jones Act, the restriction of moving a ship from a U.S. port to a U.S. port. It must be built in America versus a U.S. port to a foreign port. Or foreign port to a U.S. port, any ship will do. The difference is massive, 10 times the difference in the freight costs on moving freight around. So we need to deal with the Jones Act in real terms for Alaska so we can ship our oil and gas and mineral products on foreign-built ships just like we can to any foreign producer. We ought to be able to do to an American producer and be able to ship Alaskan products to U.S. ports on the West Coast. And we don't have a railroad link. If they had that, it wouldn't be an argument. Just move it on the railroad. But we don't have that. We need access to West Coast ports as Americans in Alaska, developing resources that are in the nation's interest to develop by changing the regulations and changing the Jones Act as it relates to Alaska, to move our raw materials into U.S. Rust Belt ports that they can move inland to be turned into value added. Because the other big inputs are energy. Energy, transportation, two of the big inputs. When you talk about this, infrastructure and information systems, that's energy, right? I mean, these farms require huge, prodigious amounts of energy. Transportation is all about energy. Value added in terms of refineries and plants and factories is about energy. Alaska, 25% of our energy in Alaska isn't oil and gas. It's hydroelectric on Southeast Alaska. And we have huge hydroelectric potentials here and throughout the Western states that can be captured and converted to value added. Because again, it's matching the factors of economic production, land, entrepreneurship, labor, and natural resources through investment, through cash being invested to build factories and plants and refineries and things that create jobs and opportunity by adding value to the raw materials produced here. And the big factors in the modern age is about information, transportation, communication systems, fundamentally, again, energy. Then it's about AI and robotics and the advancements of technology that are making it even more relevant to get things developed closer to the core of where raw resources are produced. And the value added as the money rolls through the economy can happen here. And we put a chokehold on Alaska in so many different ways historically, and we continue to do so by regulation. Transportation regulation that I just mentioned. When you talk about the fact that climate is changing, no one can deny it. And then you look at the agricultural potential of Alaska. They made attempts on the state level 30 years ago to create agricultural areas And I would say it was largely a failure, although there are some really pioneering folks out there in Delta and throughout Alaska doing some incredible work with farms and farming and trying to develop an industry that I think is getting more and more potential, not less and less potential in the face of climate change. And the reality is climate change is here. You can argue about its cause or effect or whatever you want, but the reality is the reality of the 21st century. And if everyone stopped everything, they say it might decrease in 100 years by 1 degree. And I can tell you, the planet is not stopping. So that is not going to happen. We need to be smarter about our footprint, smarter about our futures, but we can do this. We've already done this. The technologies exist to do this soundly. But let's add the value in the country where we live. When I was talking about mineral rights and the changes before the last break, I mentioned, you know, they don't fund some of the things they allow. They don't fund it. So how does that work? You know, but the fact is, we didn't even get into a lot of the rights that still run with the land that I didn't get to talk about. I want to talk more about mineral rights and what that means. I want to talk more about oil and gas and what it means and what depletion allowances are as it relates to the income tax of the early 1900s. And in the last few minutes, we'll touch on that because fundamentally, again, when the income tax came in, remember, before they amended the Constitution, this was unconstitutional tax of man's labor. And what happened with the mineral industry when the income tax came in is they created this fiction called depletion allowances. Well, as you deplete the minerals under the land, you get to write off a percentage against your taxes. And this little shell game allows you to effectively reduce your tax net taxable income by half. Let me say it again. Your net taxable income effectively is cut to half under depletion allowances. And on public lands, I don't believe depletion allowances should apply because it's not private industry's resource being depreciated and depleted. It's ours. For a token royalty is being depleted. Over $1 trillion worth of oil at $100 a barrel off the North Slope alone in the last couple of decades. You know, the fact of the matter is the national resources are being hijacked by globalists. And the structuring of this began with the land rights. What the indigenous got to keep in Alaska was all the rights that run with the land. Fundamentally, what all of us should have with our private land. This has been Nick Begich on this Friday afternoon on the InfoWars. Thanks for being here.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.